Bus. Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. We're 30 days away from Ohio State and Ball State, Saturday, September 5th at Ohio Stadium. Football Buckeyes begin the season number one in the coaches' poll for the first time since 2015. OSU hits the field in moments to kick off fall camp at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. The Fan will be live today, tomorrow, and Saturday for camp coverage you can't find anywhere else. In the NFL tonight, the Hall of Fame game. The Cardinals battle the Panthers at 8 o'clock up at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. Arizona will start rookie Carson Beck. Carolina will have Kenny Pickett under center. In baseball last night, Bo saw a thriller. 22-year-old Angel Hano made his Major League debut for the Guardians. He went 4-5 from the plate and put Cleveland up 5-4 with an RBI single in the 7th. But the Mets would tie things in the 9th and win the contest in the 10th. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lavery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Vultures. Wow.
Jeez. Bait choosing violence on a Thursday. That'll get you jacked up, kids, as we do it live from Ohio State Camp Day 1, the Buckeyes 2026 quest for the national championship, for a victory in the rivalry game, and of course a Big Ten championship. Gosh, Bids is here. It's old home week. We're all back, kids, as we do it live from just outside the Woody Hayes as the Scarlet and Gray are on the field. I might add, in glorious gray sleeves. We're in a very, very good mood, Reese. We had, first year they did this, we had Ross Bjork on the show. He came over, and I don't know if he'll join us today or not. A lot of different obligations. They had Ryan on this morning. That was spectacular. I think they have Ross tomorrow on the morning show. I think we could get Matt
we're
today
tentatively
at some point.
Ross at 9:30 Friday.
Friday. Okay. So theoretically that could be Friday, so that's a good job.
It all floats.
We'll see. It does. It all just kind of floats along. We'll see how it all goes. But I remember talking to him. He was just on the job 6 months, but really 3 months where it was his gig. Gene had kind of phased out kind of in a slower way, and then Ross was in. And one of the things I asked him is, we talked about the responsibility of being the athletic director at Ohio State. And I said, how do you – look at this guy. Did you pass? He did it. He did it.
Barely. There's confidence there.
Bob did his fitness test. So it's the same one he did when he played, and he does it every year.
Birthday conditioning.
Birthday conditioning, and so happy birthday to Bob, and he did it. So that's great. You look great, brother. Still out there getting it done. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So anyway, I'd asked Ross, I said, how do you make sure that you make a program that I think means more to any given state than any program means to its state, with LSU's in this conversation, there's a couple others, but not many. How do you make sure that that entity that means so much remains accessible to everyone while also threading the needle on maximizing what you can make financially off of it in a landscape that now requires it? And his answer was essentially, well, that's the trick. That's the trick, is finding a way to do that. And that was the first year that they did this, and there were a couple hundred people here, I would suppose, that first day, because no one had done this before. And I remember we had Paul on that day, much as we're going to have Paul on today. And I said, well, this is where I am. What do you make of this? And he goes, well, he said something, I'm paraphrasing, to the extent of, well, I would say, once again, Ohio State's a little bit ahead of the game. And they've been ahead on the game on this. This is with the help of the incredible folks who run the Buckeye Cruise, Chris, and all of those people who are just aces. This is, to me, a perfect example of accessibility for the masses who want it. You got some VIP for the people who require that. Also taking full advantage of the full brand and money-making opportunities, because as we've talked about so often, Reese, you have got to find money in college football 2026. And I think Ross, so far, so good on finding a way to kind of thread that needle.
So many things about this program are NFL-like.
Yeah.
I would say the passion of the fan base is more so than what you'd find of any of the 32 teams in the NFL. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys and their fan base would step in with an argument there, but in year three, every Thursday, it's grown in attendance. And Saturday,
yeah,
I would imagine something similar. Or Friday, similar. And then Saturday, it's almost, if the weather holds, it's the perfect day to get out and see the beloved Buckeyes 30 days out from the season with unprecedented access.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered why other schools don't do this.
If, yeah.
You know, with Paul and his base in the South, if it just meant more, then I think you would see Alabama yeah. doing something like this, or LSU doing something like this. Certainly, yeah. they would want to gravitate towards that, because the name of the game is money. And it's not lost on me that there is a banking institution that is 100 feet from us, and there's a new jersey that they've got out there with beautiful gray sleeves and a circular patch above the Big Ten logo. It's not lost on me right next to us are
yeah.
things to purchase that players will sign. It's a total team buy-in.
Yeah.
From all phases, and it's been that way since NIL was given the green light, when we would talk yep. to Ryan Day about it, and what are you guys preparing for? And there's, of course, reluctance with this, because this is new, and this
yep.
isn't something that if you could truth serum into coaches, they'd be like, absolutely, give them free reign.
Oh, yeah,
free
no,
transfer,
no, no.
unlimited
right.
money, give it all to the players. But the buy-in here from everybody has been so much so that you see this is just kind of another day on campus.
It is, and it's something that, you know, we talk about it all the time, like how much the program is valued, what it means, all of those things. This is, if you're one of the people who are out here today or you're coming tomorrow, we are, what, 8 minutes into the start of practice,
mm-hmm.
and you are getting 11 on 11, 20 yards from you, is what you're getting. Now, this is basically perfect process is what we see, so that you see this all the time. The Browns do stuff like this, NFL teams do. Basically, what Ryan Day is looking for in the drill that we're watching right now is he's looking for them to get lined up correctly. He is looking for the motion and the mm-hmm. procedure. He's looking at for to be done in a timely fashion that gets it in within the play clock. And then as soon as it's snapped, he's blowing it dead. So what he's looking for here, this is, if you think about building a house, this is the foundation of the house that they're building. And you'd say to yourself, well, good Lord, these are college guys. They don't know how to get lined up. Dude, I talk about a pro team that sometimes doesn't get lined up.
Yep.
Okay? So, like, this is critical to what they're doing. So you're seeing, you just saw Julian saying out there, I was actually over there, Reese, when Chris Henry, first time I've seen Chris Henry Jr., like, in person.
Mm-hmm.
That's a defensive end.
Yeah.
That's what that is. That is a big dude that casts a wide shadow. And you think about that weaponry on the outside, and you start to get excited about it. But you're getting perfect. These are that's what they call these. It's perfect starts, perfect practice, that type of thing. They're just getting up. They're lining up. They're snapping it. They're blowing it dead. They just want to get that process up, and this is the foundation that they're building.
I mean, to be able to see Chris Henry Jr., be able to see Jeremiah Smith,
yeah.
what's probably his last camp, is incredible to do live and in living color.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, because last year we got, I forget if it was Thursday or Friday, but something went wrong, and they just brought the offensive lineman over here with a blocking
oh, yeah.
sled, and maybe feet from us,
yeah.
they were popping pads. And so that's something that, What will happen over the next 3 days, not only is it's something that we all love. I was waking up this morning, it had Christmas vibes.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
this
yeah,
is the
yeah.
start of something that we all cherish. So many expectations with this team make it more special, I think. Even with that number one next to their name.
And yeah.
probably next Friday will be a similar designation. You think
yep.
AP voters might vote similarly to the coaches because they see the talent that's
Absolutely.
Been amassed on this field, the talent that's been retained through championship seasons, through championship expeditions, and everybody, I just keep going back to the embrace of it all, and we don't embrace anything in the state of Ohio more than football.
No. And I always say, we talk, look, life is fast enough. I'm never a guy who says I can't wait for football season, because football season comes inevitably.
You want to wish the summer away.
Yeah, I really like summer, so I like let's keep that as long as possible. But then once you get here, then it hits. Then the juice hits, and away you go, and you're going to blink, and you're going to be playing in Austin in week two under the lights down in Texas, and we'll see exactly what this whole team is made of. Bank, we miss you, buddy. Miss you out here, pal.
This is one of those days where, as much as I love you guys, I hate you guys.
Well, so we tried to fight for you at the Memorial Tournament, and you did softball.
I know.
That's true.
Instead
of us,
previous
you picked state softball.
I understand. I don't know if I picked state softball. I picked my wallet. There's serious FOMO going on in this studio right now because you can hear it all in the background. You can hear coaches yelling. You can hear the DJ that's out there. You hear the whistle. And it's like, man, I'm missing all of this. But, you know, you guys are out there having fun. You're going to be my eyes for the next 2 days. So
Buddy, we'll paint some pictures for you because there's a lot to keep an eye on here. I'm always curious. I think all the pieces matter. So I'm always curious, like, who's lining up first at safety? Who are the linebackers with the ones? Those type of things. Those are the things I'm looking for.
Who's that third receiver?
That's right.
Jeremiah and
Brandon. Well, I'll tell you what, 15 is going to play.
15 looks ready.
15 will play.
I think that's what we expected.
I think 15 is going to play a little bit. Look at this guy.
Back from retirement.
What are you doing? You going to buy cleats? To Barry. All right.
They got everything over there.
We'll talk to him about his truncated retirement. And continue to paint the pictures. This is a special day. It's one of my most favorite days on the calendar. The first day when you get to see Scarlet and Gray on a field practicing, getting ready, and they pass the eye test. Over the next month, we'll see if they can pass every other test that needs to be passed. We are off and running live at Ohio State Camp Day 1. Bishop and Friends right here on the
field. All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for your Thursday, but it's going to be warm out there, similar to what we felt yesterday, with highs right around 90 degrees and increased humidity to get you through the rest of your Thursday. Come tonight, we do have a chance of seeing some isolated showers late in the evening into your Friday morning, when most of that heavier rain is going to come in overnight tonight. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldridge, with 97.1 The Fan.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. What's the weather outside? Who cares? Bakers and shorts. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, broadcasting live from day one of Ohio State football camp. It's kind of everything that you'd want it to be. You got the actual Buckeyes on the far, I guess it would be east field, as they are going through some stretching work. And then in this middle field where we are, this is the inspiration, right? So you have real football going over there, and then you got about 1,000 kids out here playing catch. And then if you needed more authenticity, you just need a Columbus legend to be walking by. I mean, you guy can't walk 5 feet without autographs, pictures being taken. I've seen you sign several body parts. Tiberi, what are you doing?
Don't mistake people coming up to me saying I owe them money. Hey, man, you got to pay your bets.
Jesus, what's been going? That's, you retired a couple months, and next thing you know, you're like the Scatino guy who had the sporting goods store in The Sopranos. Yeah. Richie Aprile's coming for his points.
Yeah. I will say this. Every year this seems to get bigger.
It does, yeah.
And, you know, this has a real NFL football vibe.
It does.
The way it is. And it's good to see all those kids out there on the middle field playing catch. And then over on the next field, you got all those kids.
Right.
Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sayin and all those. And then now we've got sponsorships and stuff. It's pretty neat.
I had Ross on here. I was telling the story in the first segment, but I had Ross on here the first year we did this. He had been on the job 3 months. And I asked him, how do you thread the needle of making sure this program is accessible for everybody in the state? Because it means so much to the state, while also making sure that you monetize the best way you can. Because you have to find money now.
Right.
And they've done it. That's what this is. This is that. We're seeing it in practice.
And I don't know that anyone, and you know, Ohio State has done such a great job of being ahead of the curve.
Backs.
Bax has taken video of
what
us.
What is he doing?
Well, he does the coach's show, and they may want to put us in the coach's show.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it's, oh, geez.
Look at that.
All the important people.
All the royalties here today, no question about it.
But you know what I mean? They've threaded the needle very nicely.
And I think they are really the example for the rest of the college football world.
100%.
And, you know, I think that they're flexing their chest a little bit, Ohio State, and they should. We've often said that they should flex their muscle.
Yep.
And they are, and they're doing it in marketing. They're doing it in, you know, getting out to the community. I mean, this is the base. These folks that are here, they love the Buckeyes. Where else can you get, what, 35, 4,000 people to come watch practice like this? It's on a work day.
And they pay for it.
Yeah.
So now you get a profit thing that's happening, too. So you're able to kind of meld those two things together to create an experience that's really unique and cool. You hit it. We'll have Paul Feinbaum on in a couple hours, and the first time we did this, he's like, wait, can you explain to me what you're seeing? And I said, is anybody down there doing that? And he goes, no, not that I know of.
No.
This is NFLU, though, so this is another example. And here's the other thing. We were talking to Ryan about this, and I know you'll talk to Ryan today, I'm sure, for the various things that you're doing, my friend. But there's a little bit of extra juice when you have fans.
Yes.
Like the guys feel it.
Yeah.
It manufactures good practice.
I just watched Jeremiah Smith run out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of the fan favorites.
Yeah.
And he got all pumped running out there, coming out, and they see this, you know.
Yep.
I mean, let's not forget, just because Jeremiah Smith's his third year at Ohio State, he's what, 20 years old?
Yeah, right.
I mean, 19, 20, whatever
right.
he is,
That's
he's
right.
just, these are still kids.
Yeah.
And you know what you were like when you were 19 and 20. You were immature and whatever. And now these guys are not only making that kind of money, but to be loved the way they are.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it feels good. How can it not? You know?
It does. Yeah.
I know on the little level you and I have it. When people come up and say nice things to you, it makes you feel good.
I never get that. It's always negative.
A guy said he liked your beard.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, look at this gentleman. Look at this. Hey, that's very nice.
You
there you go. Nice
there
to
you
see
go.
You.
Is there this is. On TV, too? So
oh, yeah,
see?
Yeah, yeah.
So this
it's,
is all,
we're everywhere.
It's
everywhere.
It's everything.
That's right. Oh, there's the boys, fine champions right here, the two littles.
Oh, there they are.
There they are.
You got your. Hey, guys, how
look
are you?
Look at those guys. Yeah, there they are. They're
we
here.
Need to
Beansy
start
and Young Bootsy.
We got to start feeding them.
Well, you got to do that a little bit. Yeah.
They got
any trouble? He's already got a snack. What's he got? Sucking down an apple juice.
There you go, Johnny Appleseed.
That's all you need. It's a good job. Enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. Did they enjoy their trip out to the High Chaparral?
Well, the little one did. The medium is, after the incident from last year, the middle one is not so keen on riding the horses.
Now, let me ask you a question.
You can ask me anything
you like. And I've been watching these videos, and you're a guy that has experienced the West, and you know about the critters are out there. You got wolves, you got grizzlies, you got.
Yeah.
Now, do you have buffalo running around, too?
Yeah, I mean, they're not so.
Now, have you seen?
Without getting all the way into it, they're in Yellowstone Park, and then they had an overpopulation there, so they gave a bunch of them to the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in northeast.
But
Montana,
there are buffalo
Montana.
Out there, and you
they
know,
are,
you know,
but
about
they're not.
Them.
They're only. They're not really like just running free.
But they're not domesticated. Like the old, they're not domesticated animals.
No, they're not domesticated.
So, have you
no,
seen these videos?
Yeah, I'm not hard to sing.
Of like now they this. Person's walking with a child.
I saw that, yeah.
And what are these people
it's
thinking?
It's in Yellowstone. And have you been to Yellowstone?
No.
God, you'd love it.
I don't think so.
No, I think you'd love it. The problem with Yellowstone is you see so many animals that I think people think they're in a zoo.
What are you doing?
They believe they're in a zoo. Like, they think that the animal is there to be petted and waved at and all of that. And the reality is you're not. It's the wild.
I mean, these things will eat you. You go, in Florida.
I don't know if a buffalo bison would eat you, but they definitely will ram you.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
They're vegetarian.
They
I'm
might eat you if they.
Now, the wolves.
They'll eat you.
They'll eat you.
They'll circle you and eyeball you.
Wolves will circle you, eyeball you, devour you.
It's like
you.
In Florida. When I go golfing, well, I'm going in Hilton Head. When I go golfing,
what do you do with
if I hit into the crap. I'm not going in there. Forget about the snakes. They got copperheads everywhere.
Well, copperheads, huh?
Yeah. You ever seen those?
Any gators or no gators there?
Cottonmouths. Cottonmouths and copperheads.
You don't know. No, I don't go in there.
And then these things called gators.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going in.
You had that guy out west, one of your people that.
One of my people.
Thought that the grizzly bears, you could live with them. How did that go?
Poor guy.
How did that go?
I think that was in Alaska.
Whatever. One of your guys. One of your
Treadwell?
People.
Was that
Treadwell?
His name?
Yeah. Treadwell. How did that go?
That got him forever. That poor guy.
What? He did a documentary. I'm living with bears.
Didn't end well.
No.
Did not end well.
It doesn't.
No.
That's why, you know, I mean, yeah, I got in the ocean that one time, but the sharks live in the ocean.
They do.
Did you watch Shark Week?
No, I've seen Jaws.
But did you watch? No, watch Shark Week. Jaws is nothing. That's kiddie stuff.
Jaws is the size of the boat. He actually says, I need a bigger boat.
Yeah, but there's 10 of those in real Shark Week. They're circling you, looking at you and all
but
that.
But how far off? I mean, what are you talking about? You're like
inches of
miles.
Water.
They're
have you ever heard of the bull?
Not in the Gulf.
Have you ever heard of the bull shark?
Yes, they're not coming for you.
Yes, they.
There's absolutely. Listen, there are
ask
zero.
That doctor. That's
no,
like that doctor. I'm going to show you.
No, there's no. There are zero documented bull shark attacks in the Gulf of Mexico.
Let me show you something. That's absolute BS, and I'm going to show you something. When we go to break, I'm going to bring the video
this
up.
Poor kid is out here
of this doctor. Who goes, oh, yeah, the bull shark's friendly. He's standing in the water with that British guy, and all of a sudden the bull shark bit the, just they circle him, and then it just bit his.
Maybe
his,
it was like your dog. Maybe
bit
just,
his calf
just like
off.
When your dog licks you or something.
Bit his calf off.
I don't think that happened.
I'll show you the video.
I don't.
That's
it's probably
why,
fake. It's probably AI.
It is. Not, it was before AI.
No,
yeah,
it's all AI.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Let me ask you this.
The bull shark's got more testosterone than any animal in the world, even you.
I think you're right on that. Let me ask you this. I'm pretty sure that I participated in this massive retirement ceremony for you.
Yeah.
And yet here I see you in a 10 TV polo.
Yeah.
It appears that you're going to do some work. You may even be on television.
Yes.
Was this just a ruse so that you could get adulation?
No.
And have people praise you and tell you how great you are? Is that what this was?
No, I'm going to do Coach Day's show in the fall.
Well, but I hear you're going to be on Channel 10 today.
But they asked if I would do this today, and so I'm going to do it.
So you're like Tim May.
You asked me to come here. I'm going to do it. I did. Yeah, well, I'm going to always keep my finger
this
in.
This isn't work, though. This is just guy's fun.
Well, yeah, this is.
This is guy's fun.
We should do a podcast one day.
Right. See if you can get a camera set up.
Man, we got our best people on it. We got our best.
How's the camera coming for him?
Yeah, it's
see?
He's
on it.
We've got purchasing involved, and we've got engineering involved, and we've got
happening.
We have the people that matter involved.
We do. We do have the people that matter involved. Hey, we got to take a quick time out, but in 2 minutes, we're going to have a little conversation about this Buckeye defense because I've seen a bunch of social media from NFL teams about how great Sonny is, how great Arvell is, how great Caleb is, and we got to replace all of those dudes. There's going to be some new names you guys are going to have to get to know. We will share some of those names with you in 2 minutes. Here, Coach Day's thoughts on replacing all of that defensive talent as well. That's coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
So,
sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
Here's what's up. On a put that away.
It's going to get us kicked off Spotify.
We got all sorts of Spotify issues. Tabari, you can't have that going while we're on it. We'll get thrown off.
The man's going to bite.
I understand. I believe you. I half believe you. I think it's probably AI. Anyway, here's what's up. Day one, Buckeye camp underway. This was such a great question out of T-Bone and Tyvus this morning when they asked this, because I was thinking about this when they had Coach on. If you've paid attention, if you're on the X platform and you see these NFL teams, they're tweeting out their new players, new videos, all this stuff. The Giants, it's been a steady dose of Arvell Reese. To the surprise of no one at Commanders camp, Sonny Styles is stealing the show. Effusive praise from teammates, coaches, everything, to the surprise of nobody. We've had Jerry Jones talking so highly about Caleb Downs down in Dallas. By the way, Carnell Tate, too. But all three of those defensive players, which were part of the best defense in the country and maybe the best defense that ever played around here statistically a year ago, they're all gone. So on this morning with T-Bone and Tyvus, they asked Coach about the task of trying to replace that much talent.
I'm happy for them, but I was the same way as you. I'm like, God dang. I mean, look at these guys. But the same questions were asked the year before.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have to do that. But now in the portal, we had to address it with guys who had experience. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge part of, you know, Earl Little and James Smith and John Walker and Terry Moore. I mean, these guys have played a lot of football now, not at Ohio State. So we got to get them up to speed, like I said. But then there's a lot of guys like Arvell the year before. Nobody knew who Arvell. I mean, nobody was talking about Arvell Reese nationally, and now look what happened. You know, there's guys like Kenyatta Jackson. There's guys like Peyton Pierce. There's guys like Jalen McClain. There's guys like Jermaine Matthews, who we're counting on, Devin Sanchez, to now step up and take on those roles. Nobody came here to be average, you know, and everybody knows the expectation here. And that's what I like about these guys. They know it, and they embrace it.
I like what Coach said there, guys, where he said they were saying that the year before. And they were. Jack and JTT and all those guys had to leave, but then you got to find somebody else to do it. Now, I think the trio that you had last year is maybe the best trio maybe we've ever had here. When you talk about two linebackers and a safety, it's in a conversation with that. But he also mentioned, so they have some homegrown guys who, if you think about from a defensive standpoint in that position room, like Peyton Pierce is a guy that Threes wanted in recruiting. He went out and got him. He's developed him. He played a big role last year, now a starring role this year. The other linebacker is going to be interesting what they do there. Christian Allegro comes in from Wisconsin, so they have him. I know that they like Riley Pettijohn a lot, who's a guy who was a five-star linebacker out of Texas, one-year body by Mick, and looks like he's good. On the back end, it gets a little interesting. Terry Moore comes in from Duke at safety. I've heard a lot of good things about Earl Little Jr. as well. So it's a mix, Dom and Reese, of portal, developed, and, I mean, what do they have everywhere you look around here? Developed here, right? That's everywhere you see. They're banking on that.
You know, the thing is, when you think about what they do here, this is NFL football.
Yeah.
And I am not surprised that these guys are flourishing at the next level, because they run this like an NFL camp.
Yep.
And they've got NFL head coaches coaching these guys.
Yep.
And Ryan Day takes great pride in the developed here. You see the signage. He's always talking about it. And he's often said to me, you know, Dom, it's one thing to bring in this talent.
Yep.
It's another thing to develop it for the next level. And I he feels like we do it better than anyone else in the country. And I think they do. But you can only play one guy at one position, and there's guys waiting in the wings. And, you know, it's like Coop used to say back when he was here, we don't reload. I mean, we don't rebuild. We just simply reload. And that's what they're doing here. And these guys all are biting at the, you know, the chance to get in there. And they always seem to reload. And I think they'll be fine. The only question I have, and I think it was a big concern with Ryan, and I think it was very crucial what they did in the offseason.
Yeah.
There is no offseason, but what they did in the summer workouts and everything about the team bonding and build. When you bring that many guys in from the portal, I mean, you know, you think NFL doesn't even do that. You don't bring in that many guys like this.
Nobody in 50 new faces.
You know, you bring in 50 new players and you got to assimilate and you got to be a brotherhood. And, you know, so you don't have that. And you're going to get these free agents. And but that's where we're heading right now until they can figure something out. But, you know, I think that's the big question mark Ryan has. You know, these guys all passed the look test. These guys all played well that came in here. But are they going to assimilate, and are they going to be Buckeyes like we need them to be, like we have grown up watching these guys that have grown up in here?
That's right.
You know, we saw it with Will Howard, a one-year guy, and, you know, he assimilated, and he loves this place and whatever, but he was just here one season.
No, for sure. Yeah. You got to do it quick, Reese.
Do a lot of wine tourism, and in those trips, you say, I'd like to revisit that.
Yep.
And what I think this team has done well over the last couple of seasons, because I think they go into every year answering these questions of, can they replace this guy who went to the NFL? But it's when you facilitate those relationships in recruiting, and you're kind of able to revisit that relationship when that player goes into the portal or tries to find greener pastures to play maybe their third, their fourth, their fifth and final season.
Yep.
You know, it's not lost on me how Julian Sain was second. Ohio State was second on his list.
Yeah.
Then Nick Saban goes and Ohio State says, hey, we'd like to revisit our conversations. And they've done that with, I don't know how many different players that have been impactful players for this team over the last couple of seasons. One that's resulted in a national championship and another that's resulted in a Big Ten title appearance and then a college football playoff. So I think we're going to have these questions every single year with this.
Yeah.
But this is the coaching staff paramount to any in the country that's been able to answer it with, we're good.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think the what you said on, you know, the recruiting now never really ends because you never know. I mean, like the DGG kid who went to Tennessee, the running back, they wanted him desperately, right? So he goes to Tennessee, the money's better. Well, if that doesn't go well, Josh Heupel loses in year one, you can bring
him
in.
Who's to say
here.
We don't see him 2 years from now
doing
this?
You very well could. So that's, those. I can't imagine You know, what's the fantastic line from The Godfather? Always business, nothing personal, Mike. Right?
It's not personal. It's just business.
That's it. So that's the attitude you have to have now in college football in 2026. Nothing personal, just business, right? Guy doesn't choose us. Maybe it's because they offered $500,000 more and we weren't willing to go there or whatever. You have to have a stand at some point. And when you take that stand, you got to be able to acknowledge that you may not get that guy, but not right now, maybe later. I think the thing that's a real challenge this year, and you hit on this, this is what's really interesting. We've never had it like this. Not 50 new faces. Now, 28 of them are in the recruiting class, so it's not like they're all portal. But, I mean, up until this point, Ohio State has been a, we need a safety. Caleb Downs looks like a great safety. We need a, Seth McLaughlin looks like he's going to be a pretty dang good center. Let's grab him. The same kid, we liked him. Let's bring him here. They've never done it quite like this, Dom. This is, but they had to because this is where we are.
Well, they had the formula the year before.
They did.
I mean, with Will Howard, they had an old football team with Tui Maloau and Jack Sawyer and all those guys. They had the formula, and we saw Indiana do it last year, and that is the formula. And so, I know a lot of people were screaming, there's 30-some Buckeyes in the transfer portal. What's going on? And I remember saying, if they wanted them, they wouldn't be in the transfer portal. But that's the world. You had to get older. And unfortunately, I don't like it, but this is what it's going to be. You're going to take a handful of high school recruits every year, and you're going to take out of the portal. And that's just the way it's going to be. And I think that it's, until they can figure out how they want this thing to go, this is the way it's going to go. And I give Ohio State credit because, again, we talk about how they've got all these people here and how they're doing this. It is, I think that they're going to now embrace this and they're going to lead the way. If you're, it's like, Ryan Day's philosophy is we're going to keep score. I want to win. Urban Meyer was that way. If we're going to keep rankings, I want to be number one. And that's what I think that's what they're doing now. And I applaud them for that because it's very competitive out there. The Big Ten is like, who would ever thought these schools were seeing in there now? You know, the Oregons of the world and this stuff. And
Indiana, for God's sake.
I mean, my goodness, Indiana. And, it's they now, people forget Indiana's got a very deep alumni base that have money.
Yep.
And, they always embrace basketball, but now, they're going to embrace football at Bears. And, you can do it overnight. Look at Clemson. They have not embraced this. How's it gone for them?
No, not well. It's funny. I was with some buddies of mine last night that were in town. Up in Cleveland, went to a Guardians game. And, yes, I went to a baseball game. We can talk
Hell
about
of a
that
game you saw.
Well, it would have been nice if it went the other way. But, it was. And we were talking a little bit about the SEC, because they're Florida guys, both went to the University of Florida, right? And I said, what's going on? Like, where's the... And their kind of sense of it was, they were former media guys, and their sense of it was that in the case of Florida, in the case of some of these schools down there, they were not ready to adapt to this world.
No.
Or they couldn't. They didn't have the financial might to be able to. You've been to a lot of those campuses down there. They're small towns.
Right.
They're small towns. They don't have a booming city of 3.5 million that they can pull from, and a whole state that's a massively powerful state in our country with population and finances like this one. So they're pulling from different resources, and they just can't simply, and they got caught basically with their pants down is what happened, and they were not in a position to be able to adapt. And if you cannot adapt, you will die. And Ohio State has done a spectacular job of adapting to this world. They are the model. Again, Feinbaum will be on in 45 minutes, and you'll hear him say that. They are the model of how to execute and meld tradition with this modern era that we're in college football.
Well, and right now, the rules allow you to do this. And so you might as well do it. I mean,
we were here 2 years ago, and everyone was complaining about a $20 million roster. And what did we say?
You should be telling more people about your $20 million roster.
That's exactly right.
You should be having, and as many T-shirts that say developed here. You should also say we're spending $20 million. Get your poverty program in shape.
That's right.
And that's
be chesty about it. Own it.
Scream it from the mountaintops. Yeah. Do it. Every single season, let everybody else know how serious of an operation you are and how unserious everybody else is if they're not willing to spend to the level you are.
100%.
And you know what? It's only going to get bigger, guys. And it is. And this is the world we're in. And, if you would have told me 10 years ago, Bo, that we would have practices open.
Oh, my God.
For summer camp. And we'd have merchandise being sold. No. We'd have jumping machines. We'd have kids playing on the field. We'd have 4,000 fans here. We'd have people walking around with dogs. If we would have vendors set up, I would have said, what?
I would have wanted you to pitch that to Urban 10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
Hey, Coach, I got an idea. We're going to invite a bunch of fans to the first practice. We're going to bounce houses, and kids are going to be – it's just your first few days. Yeah. Well, don't worry about it, Coach.
How about him? How about Woody Hayes? He would have punched me.
Well, but there was a generation where you could go as media and watch. Like, Coop did that when I was down in Florida. Bound
yeah, but
that.
This?
Not
this,
like this, though.
They got dogs walking around in here.
That's fact. They do.
I mean, that is a jumping machine.
That's a bounce house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a circus here. We're selling
We got merch.
Merchandise.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the world we're in,
yeah.
And you know what? I applaud Ohio State. Again, they're going to be the example.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. Ohio State does the Buckeye Cruise. Chris and Lisa do an incredible job. Other schools have tried. They can't,
they can't do it. No.
They can't do it. Ohio State, every year, they've raised, I don't know, how many millions?
Oh,
50 million? 100 million?
Right more,
I don't know. It's crazy.
Through all the years. Yeah.
It's just, it's insane what they've done. And it's because of Buckeye Nation. It's this whole state.
Yeah. Yep. They got it all.
Loves the Buckeyes.
You know what else is crazy and insane? Bo going to a baseball game. I did it last night. We'll get into that, among other things, in the night in sports. By the way, we have Reese. We've got an update from Browns camp. So we'll play the game of you guys, me being the reporter. So we'll handle that coming up next as well. It is a treat. We are broadcasting live. Day one of Ohio State football camp is underway. Bishop and Friends right here.
Way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And we are broadcasting live out at Ohio State. Training camp day one is underway. Julian Sain on a little read option off to our left. We got a little offensive install, it looks like, over here on the far east field. Jeremiah split out wide left. Brandon Innes split wide right. Julian in the shotgun. A handoff and, a little bit of a play fake, it turns out, and away we go. So they're doing some install stuff right now, making sure all of this is crisp. If you are one of the fans who are out here getting a front row seat, quite honestly, to maybe the best player to ever play here in Jeremiah Smith, and I don't take that lightly, but he may be that by the time all is said and done. I went to Uncle Dom is here, the great Reese is here, baked back home at the Ponderosa. I went to a baseball game last night. It's the first time I've been to a baseball game since the All-Star game up in Cleveland. Whenever that was, several years ago. I have, it's amazing. My buddies were in town and they wanted to go, so we went. And Tyler's great dad, Curtis Danberg, great man with Indians PR. So reached out to him and got us some great seats. And we were very thankful. It was awesome. Really cool experience. I had forgotten how, for certain communities, and certainly for that one, and I'm sure it's this way in a bunch of places around the country. This is what you do in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great crowd. It was an awesome crowd there.
Did you stand or were you sitting?
I was sitting. Now, we did stand. I mean, it ended up being a pretty thrilling game. Mm-hmm. Of course, it went to extras, naturally. So and knowing that I was going to be getting up quite early, I was less than pleased that the fact that we couldn't close it out. And the Guardians, couldn't close it out in the ninth and just be done with it. Now, who's the kid who went 4-for-4 and was up in the bottom of the ninth with a chance to win it? And from my vantage point, I thought he did.
Yeah, Angel Hano.
Good.
22-year-old third baseman. He's playing that for the Guardians right now because Jose Ramirez is hurt. But
yeah.
I was kind of hoping this morning, Bo, because Rocchio had the error in the ninth that let the Mets tie things and send it to extras. You would bring Rocchio to Columbus with you.
Just bring
so we wouldn't have to deal with the Guardians wouldn't have to deal with him at shortstop. But in terms of that baseball game had everything.
It did.
Runs, home runs. Well, not a great night for Tanner Bibee, although he struck out 10. But you also got so many errors. You had two teams that aren't great but played well comparatively.
Yeah, there were honestly quite a few more than I would have thought Mets fans Like some Let's Go Mets stuff?
Brother Bones, one of them.
Was he in the mix?
No, he wasn't up there last night.
I think
he had to be here at like 3 in the morning.
That's right.
Set things
he just
up.
Had to go straight from so one did, to the did, next.
Don't you find it relaxing, though?
So this is what I told. This is what I was saying to my buddies, and this is the thing about baseball. I discovered this when they first opened Huntington Big Field, okay, when the Clippers first moved from the Coop to there. And I took the blonde to the game. It was before the boys were born. And I took her to a game, and she was like, this is awesome. And she's like, this is better than the Indians games. And I said, it clicked to me. It's just a porch.
Yes.
It's just a place to have a beer with a nice view.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah, there are people like Reese who watch every game and chart it and know the depth of the farm system and all of that. But for a lot of people, it's just a fun place to hang out on a summer night and have a beer.
Let me tell you something. As the boys get older, if they start playing baseball, travel ball.
Yeah.
And then Damo played college. There was nothing like it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like watching a baseball game. As I was a kid, Big Lou, we'd get on the train.
That's right.
That's how we would travel.
Those are vacations.
And we would go to Cincinnati. We'd take the train to Cincinnati. We'd take the train to Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., New York City. We would go to baseball games. And there's just something about the smell and the noise and just and then every play, you know, watching the pitcher, what he's going to do, and you know, and there's so much action going on if you know what you're looking at, the signs and everything, and what are they going to do here and all that.
It's virtually unchanged with one exception. They no longer put batting average up.
They don't?
It's OPS.
Well, the Guardian shouldn't.
It's no, they shouldn't. I was saying to my buddy, I'm like, I don't understand. What does this mean? What is a 659 OPS? What does this mean? And it's like it's what on base plus slugging. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what's the number I got to know? Like, what's 300? Like in the old days, a guy hit 300. I'm like, pretty good hitter. Now nobody hits 300.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so what is an OPS that would be the equivalent of a 300 batting average? You'd be like, that guy's a dude. What's the number? Is it 750? Is it?
I was gonna say 750 to 800.
Somewhere in there.
When I'm drinking my beer and eating my dog, I don't want to do math.
You're not concerning yourself with
I was like what
that.
Is this?
Right.
Why is there not a...
You know?
It's been so long since I've watched baseball or paid attention to it that I didn't even realize that they start guys on the second base in extra innings.
The ghost runner.
I'm like, what's this guy doing out here? And I'm like, so they do this every inning?
So
if we go to the 11th, they stick a guy on second?
Yes. So they're back at 110, Guardians and Mets are. Can you make the trip back
no.
to Cleveland?
Okay. No. Right. No.
They're trying. They're always trying to find a way. It's gimmicks and whatever, trying to speed the game up.
Well,
but people enjoy it.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy extra innings knowing I was going to get up at 5 in the morning, so I wasn't really thrilled about it. I just kind of wanted it over.
Well, then you leave.
I ended up seeing all of it. Real quick, Browns camp yesterday. No pads. Yesterday was a Deshaun day with the ones. Without an ounce of hyperbole, the best I have ever seen him practice in Cleveland. The ball didn't hit the ground much at all. Just body language, all of it. And he had been a little bit of a struggle bus, but really lit it up yesterday. Just looked different, ripped it all over the field. It wasn't check down Charlie. It wasn't that. It was driving it. If there was a message that was delivered to him or if he just kind of felt that things weren't going his way and he needed to show his best, it was the best I've ever seen him practice in Cleveland.
Where do you think his mind is? Because
I don't know, man. He hasn't really played since 2020 consistently. That's a long time.
But he's taken a beating back there. I mean,
well, it's been a rough time. Not only, you know, years ago the off-field stuff, but just physically not healthy. I mean, he had two Achilles surgeries.
Right. And we've seen this movie
2 years ago.
This guy was pretty good. Now he had some baggage coming in. We're not going to debate that. But he is taking a beating back there. But we have seen this movie before with the Browns. Tim Couch, remember the beating that guy took, and I thought he was going to be pretty good. I mean, we have seen this, but when you get beat up that much mentally, you're thinking I'm getting Olay blocks, and you got to be. Mentally tough. I mean, you think about Tom Brady, the way he would stand in that pocket, the way the descents he had. And, you know, when you get happy feet and when you're feeling like, that's an effect. And I don't know. He's got to find a way to it's a mental toughness that, you know, you got to be special to be able to play that position.
You do. My hunch is that they will give Shadur a start and Deshaun a start in the preseason, and then by the third preseason game, they'll have the guy go ahead.
Real quick, in a game you can hear right here on The Fan next Saturday at 1 o'clock, Browns' first preseason. Who's starting?
I think it'll be Watson week one.
Okay.
is my guess. Week one of the preseason. Okay. I think it'll go Watson. Then I think the Thursday practice against the Bills will be something you watch very closely, like who goes with that. And then my hunch is Shadur will start the second game. That's my guess. No inside knowledge. Just my
who
guess.
Starts the season?
Well, I can't answer that yet.
I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to call it. I think it's going to be Watson.
I'm with
okay.
you.
I think they are trying to figure out a way, every way, to make this work.
We got
to
go to break.
I'm leaving.
It's good to see you. Second hour of the program, we open it up
done with
the mailbag.
Don't call
Day
me.
Day 1 of Buckeye Camp is underway. Bishop and Friends right here.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Day 1 of fall camp for the football Buckeyes. OSU's number one in the coaches' preseason poll for the first time since 2015. The Associated Press will release their top 25 next Friday. We're 30 days out from Ohio State and Ball State, Saturday, September 5th. In the NFL tonight, the Cardinals battle the Panthers in the Hall of Fame game. Kickoff from Canton's 8 o'clock. Browns and Bengals begin their preseason games next week. In baseball last night, the Reds beat the Athletics 3-2. Third straight win for Cincinnati. Both teams are back at Great American today at 12:40. In Cleveland Wednesday, the Mets beat the Guardians 6-5 in 10. 22-year-old third baseman Angel Haneau went 4-5 in his MLB debut with an RBI. New York tied the game in the 9th, but won it in the 10th. Mets look to break out the brooms today at 1:10. This update is sponsored by Roosters. Roosters are giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences. We're talking tickets, sideline passes, and trips to a Buckeye first-round postseason game. Register today and every day at roosterswings.com.
They've all been paid by the Cleveland Browns. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. Second hour of the program, broadcasting live out at day one of Ohio State football camp. As I gaze to my left on the far east field, Julian Sand rolling right. Actually, that is not Julian. It is 13. It was Julian over there. I guess, quite honestly, those of you listening on the radio, I could have just said it was Julian to Jeremiah for 67 yards. It wouldn't have made any difference. Bake on it. Luke Fahey, the third-string quarterback in there. So getting some great action. Got our first look at some of these guys. Crazy seeing Chris Henry, just physically, guys.
He's ready.
Specimen. Absolute specimen. So very interesting as the Buckeyes getting going here. Scarlet and gray clashing as they start to lay the foundation for the 2026 season. Second hour of the program. We kick it off with the mailbag. Hit it, Bake.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. And you've got to get it out. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Get 50% off all window styles plus no payments for 2 years. Visit windownation.com.
All right, lots to get through. A lot of good ones this week. Lots of college football ones as we're tracking our way through 20 most interesting. Oregon coming up here at 11 o'clock. Start with this one from Joe. The subject matter is Michigan head coach. He writes, I think their head coach now is a Band-Aid until the long-term coach gets a little more coach training. That would be Mike Hart. I know he's perfect for the job because he bleeds maize and blue. He hates Ohio State. He never won gold pants as a player, so he'll want to get as many as possible as a head coach. Also, I can't stand him, so another reason he'll be perfect for the Michigan job. Is Mike in that? He's not with them anymore, is he? I thought he moved on. Was he at Central or Eastern? He was
at one of the directional Michigans.
So
you
just
got it, Bick?
I just
he's
looked
at
this
Boston
up. He's
at
College.
Boston College. He's their running backs coach now.
So he's the Boston College running backs coach. Okay. Yeah, I agree that Whittingham is obviously a Band-Aid, and I think he's probably maybe sticking it to Utah a little bit by continuing coaching because I don't think he necessarily wanted to stop. But I don't know if it's Mike Hart. I think the next 3 to 5 for them is going to be fascinating, guys.
So I think you go 10 years, right, and you try to distance yourself from Jim Harbaugh as much as possible. You're getting Ward Manuel out in December. A new athletic director comes in. Mike Hart was on that Michigan staff with Jim Harbaugh in several different positions, and I think he had stops at Eastern Michigan and Western Michigan, so really just Central Michigan, the last place for him if he wants to get all the schools in there than Michigan State. But I think you have Whittingham for however long, and then I think if you're Michigan, you go after the young upstart coach with zero ties to Michigan or to Jim Harbaugh. And you just, again, you do as much as you can to distance yourself. Because when we had Rich Scarcella on yesterday, and he's in Jay Paterno's office with a picture of Joe Pa, I'm like, you're never going to be able to move on if you can't move on.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, you're never going to be able to move past it if you are still holding and clinging to what was an era a lot of people would like to forget.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, it's a tricky one for them, too. Go ahead, Vic.
The Mike Hart thing, it seems like that relationship has gotten strained a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's been coaching for a long time. Like, he started coaching at Eastern Michigan in 2011. He had runs at Western Michigan, Syracuse, Indiana. Then he came back to Michigan and was the running backs coach. Then he became the run game coordinator. He was even the interim head coach in 2023, or when Harbaugh got let go for a while. I don't understand, if they thought Mike Hart was the future, why they wouldn't have just hired him then instead of Sherrone Moore. And yeah, he was on those staffs with Jim Harbaugh, but I don't think he's really tied to them. So
Sherrone was the patsy. You can't do a Michigan man dirty. Like, you couldn't have set Mike Hart up to fail in that situation like they did for Sherrone, in my opinion. Yeah, Sherrone played at Oklahoma.
He did, yeah. I was thinking Banks on it. Like, if they thought Mike Hart could be the guy, he'd be there in some vicinity, one way or another. All right, this one from Scott Signetti, a case study. He writes, enjoyed the opening of the show today, so this would have been Monday, I believe. Did we do Indiana? I think it was Tuesday. Enjoyed the opening of the show today regarding Indiana's unprecedented rise to the top of the sport. As mentioned, it certainly was the perfect storm of a situation with the portal and rule changes allowing them to rise faster than you would expect for a seasoned player on dynasty mode in NCAA college football video game. However, I think it bears discussing why it took this long for Signetti to break out as a major coach, especially in the era of football where you have cream rising to the top of the sport quickly in the NFL and college with the likes of McVay, LaFleur in the pro ranks, guys like Lanning, Key, Sark in college. Certainly not every coordinator position coach makes a good head coach. And give some examples of that. But coaching under Saban, you'd think he'd break out earlier, but he just didn't. So it feels like a personality issue. They call Saban to talk about him. Sounds like he's not a fan. Perhaps that created hesitancy that was finally broken by James Madison when they took a shot at him. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see if he can keep this momentum going. Seems like he will be with Cuban and the NIL train rolling in Bloomington, from Scott. Go Bears, he writes. So one of your guys. Reese, I think it's a very... We touched on this a little bit in the conversation about Indiana. Like, why did it take so long? And he's right on the Saban stuff. I wonder if there was something that kneecapped him in a process, or I wonder if his abrasiveness was off-putting by some operations. I don't know. But it is crazy with a guy with his resume that it took that long.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, for so many people in their professions, if when they work themselves up and they're just not given opportunities for whatever reason, it's the, well, I'm just going to bet on myself. And I'm going to go take this opportunity to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing that's so... It's never really talked about as much as I think it should. When you're a head coach, if it's your first time, I want to ask, have you ever fired somebody? Have you ever hired somebody? Have you ever gotten a call at 3 in the morning, say, hey, quarterback one, something just happened. You've got to go down and figure this thing out. Like, those are the responsibilities of head coach nobody really talks about until it then becomes a systemic issue, a la maybe a Georgia or other programs that have that. And so I think for Signetti, he... At least it seems like he understands how to be a true head coach of a program. You know, when you hear him talk at Big Ten Media Days about the people that he wants in his program, and I think there was a rot and an apple analogy that he made, and it spoke to me that, okay, that was a guy who bet on himself, took a head coaching job because he needed to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Not the coordinator to head coach Big State U route, which is popular and understandable and works a lot, but he did the, I'm going to head coach this and have that actual title on my name.
Yeah.
And then it was quickly, now he's at college football's mountaintop.
Yeah.
He can also be a unicorn.
I also am curious, like, what the, you know, like the 30 for 30 on him. Like, why did it?
Is it titled Google Me?
Yeah, it might be. I'll tell you what, I'm not voicing it, Bake.
I wonder if...
Look at this. Mr. Trotter and the Big Daddy here walking in. What a treat. What a treat.
I wonder if with his cockiness and brashness, like, he wasn't a good underling. Like, he wasn't a good assistant coach.
Maybe.
And he did take that assistant coach route. Like, he went from Pittsburgh to Davidson to Rice to Temple to Pitt again to NC State. And then he made it to Alabama. And then when he left Alabama, he went IUP. So IUP,
Elon stopping there too.
To Elon, to James Madison, to
That's
Indiana. So, like, I wonder if, plus with age too, sometimes you mature and that cockiness maybe becomes less brash, or your confidence, I guess, maybe turns from cockiness into true confidence. So I don't know. Maybe he just wasn't a good assistant head coach. Maybe he always saw things his way and thought things could be done better. And he voiced that a lot and pushed for it, and maybe guys didn't like that.
I think it's probably all of those things are fair, but I think what you just said is illustrates the, wait, why there? Like, you don't go from Alabama to IUP. It's just not the way that it goes. Speaking of Indiana running it back, Mike, with this, Bo and the Fellas, always a great show, especially now we're talking college football. 70-plus-year hardcore Buckeye fan, Northwestern grad, but the son of Indiana is fun and intriguing to watch. Few gave Kurt Cignetti a chance to do what he's done in 2 years, and there's only one thing he can do to top it, that's run it back, and you know he's going to try. Fun to watch. Have a good day, Mike. Yes, he is. And with the news this week of they're booing their chances on their offense or on their defensive line on a group that was already pretty good, you can see that they're not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. We'll continue with the mailbag. Update you on what's going on here. We do have some 11-on-11 work that's going on right now. Obviously, nothing's live, but the guys are in pads, and they're spinning it around a little bit. Actually, they're not in shoulder pads. They're just helmets and shells. We had a pass into the corner. There was... You can usually tell by the
We got to bring binoculars or maybe a periscope.
Well,
what's the long thing ship captains use? Just comically large.
Yeah, we need one of those. Need one of those to be able to track what's going on the far field. We'll continue with the mailbag, keep you updated on Buckeye Camp. Mr. Feinbaum stopping by in 18 minutes from now. Bishop and Friends right here.
Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at the Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. Ooh. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on the Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus.
Hey, I'm Ruben.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for your Thursday, but it's going to be warm out there, similar to what we felt yesterday, with highs right around 90 degrees and increased humidity to get you through the rest of your Thursday. Come tonight, we do have a chance of seeing some isolated showers late in the evening into your Friday morning, when most of that heavier rain is going to come in overnight tonight. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldridge, with 97.1 The Fan.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast. Or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And homes in Columbus know that August brings those aggressive yellow jackets and wasps. Don't wait for an invasion. Protect your property and family with Rose Pest Solutions Home Service Program. The Rose Home Service Program provides year-end protection for one flat annual fee, regularly scheduled visits. Rose is local, family-owned, and trusted by your neighbors in Ohio for over 165 years. Get peace of mind today. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. Practice underway as we're a little bit more than halfway through day one of Buckeye Fall Camp. Ohio State's team practicing to the left of us on the far east field. We are in an 11-on-11. Obviously, no full contact, nothing like that. You wouldn't want it. I'd like to bubble wrap several of these guys, but at the same time, the critical work is being done. Lots of new faces on that defense, obviously. Some new faces offensively as well. Where does some of that production come from? Certainly, Chris Henry got a first look at him. He looks great physically. Haven't seen him too much out there do things, but again, they're a little bit of a far field away. But it's good to see Julian out there ripping at Jeremiah with a big applause, obviously, when he came out. Tavian St. Clair in year two, so a lot to be excited about, and a lot of new faces on defense.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Every year we come out here and just see, all right, who looks ready, who looks the part. Like you've talked about with NFL teams coming out at training camp, and who looks like they're ready to get off the bus and play on Sundays. And Chris Henry looks like he just belongs here, like he belongs amongst these guys who've played 3-4 years of college football. And you know, it's, I don't know, it's not an issue, right? You have one football, and you've got all of these horses that you have to feed. And I think what this coaching staff's done a great job with, and I think what Arthur Smith will come in and help, is getting everybody the proper production while keeping the main focus on winning football games. And I also wonder, you know, if we have the chance to talk with Ohio State's new offensive coordinator, if there's been any discussion about balance for their tempo this season.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. Maybe we'll, I think Arthur potentially could join us tomorrow. You know, so we'll see philosophically where he's at with that. But like, and Ryan said this when he's on with T-Bone and Tyvus this morning when I was listening to those guys driving in. And one of the things he said is like, look, number four is going to garner a lot of attention. Somebody has to be willing to step up opposite. So Chris Henry feels like that. Of course, Brandon Innes is back, and well, he was the number one receiver in the country when he came out. So it's not going to be a talent issue, but some guys are going to have to be able to play on that big stage and replace a guy like Carnell Tate, who is as exceptional as he was a year ago.
Guys, it's definitely not a talent issue, but Reese, I just want to ask you a question on something you said, and you said that everybody gets proper production. Like, what is that? Because I'm totally fine if the three guys that get passes thrown to them this year are Jeremiah Smith, Chris Henry Jr., and Brandon Innes. I don't care if it's anybody else, and that's how you win football games. If Bo Jackson goes for 1,500 yards, I don't care if another running back gets the ball. Like, I just, when you say proper production, what do you mean?
Well, I do think it's going to be, you know, a balance. You know, Ryan Day's talked about using the run to set up a pass, and I know it does cause some to roll their eyes because of what they've got at the wide receiver position. But I think similar production, yardage, catches, touchdowns for Jeremiah this season, you know, 1,000 yards from Bo Jackson, double-digit carries in games. But then when you're kind of blowing out opponents in earlier weeks or in Big Ten games and those start to get away from you, then you're letting other guys contribute. Then you're focusing on having other guys while you're also bringing other guys out that you don't necessarily want to keep on ice.
We saw this from a negative detriment, Reese, with the receiver position the last few years where guys didn't get a chance to just to do a lot. And so when that happens, then you get some of that negative stuff that happens where maybe you have some transfers. I think it's a balancing act. But I think, Bake, in the end, I think you're going to be proven right because I think what matters now is that college football is a day-to-day – I'm sorry, a year-to-year proposition.
Right.
You're talking about 50 new faces here, guys. 50 new faces. Next year – half of these guys that are out here right now likely won't be here. And that's a new situation that we're in the sport that we're all just kind of getting used to. And this is the first time it's happened here. We've always done NIL, but not like this. This is a different animal entirely. And so I think you're really coaching just for this year, with exceptions at quarterback. And
some will always be exceptions.
Yeah, but for the most part, I think it's almost a year-to-year process.
And I think with the style they've proven they want to run the past couple of years of 16 games in mind, limiting play, shortening games, it's really hard to spread the ball around to everybody on your roster.
It is. Yeah. So that is going to be something to watch. Couple more from the mailbag here. Paul Feinbaum coming up in 8 minutes. This one from Lee. The subject is Montana trip. Hi, Bo. My wife and I are going to take a trip out to Montana, visit the Grand Tetons. Parenthetically, those are in Wyoming, and I'm sure that he knows that. Work our way up to Glacier. So he does know that. We have 7 days to spend there. We'd love any input that you can give us or suggestions, anything that could help us plan our trip to maximize our time whether you're there. Thank you so much for your help. Absolutely love listening to your show. Well, Lee, thank you so much. Glacier's amazing. That drive is going to be spectacular. You're basically going to drive down the spine of the Rocky Mountain front, which is really, really cool, all the way up. In Glacier, if you can get into Many Glacier Lodge, that's as good as it gets. So do that. See if you can do Going to the Sun Highway. It's slammed this time of year, so I'm not sure when you're going. If it's in September, you'll probably be fine. If it's in August, make sure you have your reservations for the park because it fills up and then there's no way in. And if you see wildlife, do not approach. Several here on the TV show front. This one from Tiffany. Hey, Bo and friends, if you haven't watched Task on HBO, I highly recommend it.
Second.
The Blonde would probably also enjoy it. It was just renewed for another season. It's good?
It's really good, yeah. Mark Ruffalo is the lead in that.
Philly?
Yes. A handful of British actors do Delco accents spectacularly. Talk about going home, yo.
They land all of the plane on
it. It's really good, yeah.
This one from Greg. Hey, Bo, wonder why you hadn't watched Dutton Ranch yet. Of course, we did Yellowstone and Landman, which were great, as well as prequels to Yellowstone. Anyway, once you get through the first episode of Dutton Ranch, it picks up classic Rip and Beth. So I did watch the first episode of it.
I'm still reluctant.
And then I was reluctant because I'd kind of had enough. Mm. But I watched the first episode of it, The Blonde and I did, and enjoyed it. It was kind of fun. It was fun. So if it gets better, then I think we're probably in a pretty good spot there.
Bo, my buddy told me Marshall's bad, Dutton Ranch good.
Okay. Marshall stinks.
Well, they're doing a procedural, though, right?
So that is like every every three-letter agency show on CBS, ABC, Fox.
Yeah, that makes it tough. This one from Jeremiah. Hey, Bo, you've recommended a lot of shows for listeners over the years. I've watched Deadwood, Rome, Peaky Blinders, The Sopranos, The Wire, Justified City, Primeval, Succession, Mad Men, Friday Night Lights, Yellowstone, the spinoffs, all on your suggestions. Well, those are all good.
Dang.
You did good.
Look at you.
I love them, so I trust your judgment. I've already watched all of the Game of Thrones shows, Sons of Anarchy, Breaking Bad, and Better Call Saul. Are there any more shows that you would recommend?
So it sounds like he's got all of the streaming services, so don't feel like you have to say if you have this.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got it all. Mm-hmm. He's done all the AMCs. He's done the FXs. From an HBO standpoint, he's done them all. There's Banshee is pretty fun. It was a Cinemax show, and I think it's Warrior was also a Cinemax show, or Stars maybe. Those are both pretty good. One was written by Bruce Lee, and so it's like San Francisco in the early 1900s. I think that's called Warrior is what that one's called. Banshee is about a criminal who masquerades as a sheriff in like Amish country, Pennsylvania. That one's a little fun. Showtime Homeland is pretty good. The early seasons of Homeland are pretty good. Off the top of my head.
There's a show on Hulu right now. It's Rivals. I think they took a break from the World Cup. It's about English television in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. You can't watch it with the kids, though.
What's it called?
Rivals.
Rivals. Oh, yeah. I had heard about
David
that.
David Tennant's one of the main characters in it. He's the primary antagonist. I think ever since he's done Doctor Who, everything he's done, he's been an antagonist, and he's a tremendous villain.
You know, another one I just started is Mobland. That's fun.
Yes.
That's really fun.
Again, like
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy thing where, and I'm trying, I can't remember her name, Helen Mirren.
Yeah, Mirren,
like they got into a tiff where she wanted him off the show.
Right.
And they acquiesced at first, and I go, well, you can't do Mobland without Tom Hardy.
No, he's I've only seen two episodes, but it feels like he's the whole operation.
It's,
like,
yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one from Terry. Terry may have had a pop when he texted.
Put it in reverse, Terry!
This is a good one. All right. Hypothetically is the subject matter. That's all we get is a hypothetically. I guess it's addressed to me because I am the you in this instance. You, Reeser, and the high school sports junkie are at a bar. I guess that's
okay.
You, Bake. You're the high school sports junkie.
I'll take it.
I walk in. I'm a complete ass. Which one of you is the first to tell me that?
I mean, I'm pretty
Terry,
sure
a Northeast
pretty
Ohio.
Sure we all know the answer to this, right?
I think we do too. Terry, a Northeast Ohio truck driver, they can't wait for the podcast drop at 11:58. Can we talk about something other than the cross? Although a Bo's adoration of Indiana is unparalleled. Google me. Terry was on one. Terry,
yeah, it's pretty
stay
simple.
Safe.
I win. Google me.
Gross. I think Bake would be the one. I don't know if you've ever seen Bake. But
yeah,
I, look.
Damn sure not me. I'm 5.5 feet tall.
At my age, I'm not confronting anybody anymore. Unless you wish harm on my children, I'm just going to leave. That's exactly what I would do.
I'm like, all right,
I'm too damn old for this.
Cash me out.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to let him know in a very friendly, laughing type manner.
Sure.
And then, you know, however
nice
he reacts to
possible.
That, we'll see where it goes.
Bake on a long stare that'd be a lot for someone on the other end of that stare to take.
Oh yeah,
in.
There was a great one of those in the O'Hare Airport one time.
Did you really?
Oh yeah. My brother or my buddy's brother still talks about it to this day.
You had a good stare?
Yeah.
I think you have that in the repertoire. Mr. Feinbaum up in 2 minutes as we broadcast day one of Ohio State camp underway out at the Woody Hayes just outside on a picture-perfect day in Central Ohio. Bishop and Friends right here.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum, sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
And we head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline for a conversation with a good buddy, Paul Feinbaum. Buddy, I am broadcasting the program today from Ohio State Fall Camp Day 1. So a couple years ago, we had you on. This first year they did it. They had 4,000 or 5,000 people here, charged, you know, $50 a head for some of them more for VIP. And they've done this thing where they've turn this into an NFL camp. At the time, I remember asking you, you said you didn't know of anybody in the South that had done that yet. Have some of the programs down there started doing it now?
Not yet, and I don't know why, because considering the need for money, I mean, LSU didn't invite everybody to camp, but they did have their 40 fattest cats to the governor's house the other day where they raised, I don't know, $20 or $30 or $40 million. This is novel. I mean, it would. Can you imagine this at Auburn or Texas or Oklahoma? It would really be unbelievable.
Well, it's found money too. And we're living in a world where these athletic directors, these administrations, these programs, they're looking. Not everybody can have a room full of fat cats like LSU, and I want to ask you about that in a second, where they don't have that. So you have to find money where you can. Ohio State doesn't have a found money problem, but it's basically there to do this, and they're just taking advantage of the market. And you're right. I cannot understand how a program like Texas hasn't done this. They're in a massive city. They'd easily be able to do it. All of those programs down there could do it. It just seems kind of a no-brainer, but I think maybe it's a little bit of a thing that we've seen, a microcosm, where the programs up here, for the most part, at the top, I'm not saying all of them, but at the top, are maybe we're a little bit more ready and aligned for this world of college football than some of the programs down there.
I think you're right. Now, everyone will have a stand day on Sunday, which is somewhat ridiculous. You stand online, but I mean, that's fine. I've argued, Bo, and the commissioner will not listen to me, that they should open media days the same way. Let 3,000 people sit there. You know, whether they get close to a coach or player is irrelevant, but they're part of the system. But I hate to you know, wave that white flag again, but the South might rise again one day, but they're not doing it very intelligently when it comes to the economics of college football.
Paul, you bet. Just for our audience understands, you're not messing around. In Baton Rouge, was it the governor's mansion or at the Capitol? Where did this happen, this LSU, let's raise a bunch of money, get some boys together?
It was at the governor's mansion because the governor is the de facto head of the football program. And for those who, you have to go back to the 20s and 30s to understand the significance of that. There was once a governor named Huey Long, who really called the LSU football program his own. Read the history books. There's some pretty good information about him, but I'll let everybody Google that one.
From an LSU perspective, because they are the gift that keeps on giving, right, with that athletic department and all of it, do they feel like that they are aligned now in a way that they can try to compete at this level? And perhaps that's why Lane's there, right? Because that's the place where you could theoretically win at a consistent level, and they've won three national titles the last 25 years with three different coaches, win at a level that happens here in Columbus on a regular basis.
And I really doubted they could do it, because one thing you've often heard about LSU is it's a poor state. Much of it depends on the price of oil and gas, which is up right now but may not be next year. I would like a full investigation into this, Bo, but the governor is so important here. There is literally, and I mean this seriously, there's no telling where some of this money is coming from. Because you just can't go from a $20 million budget to a 40, and now it's over 50. And it replicates a little bit of what's going on across the country, but there's no check and balance. Lane Kiffin literally has a blank check, and that's why he was able to go into the portal and get the top quarterback, get the top offensive line. He's got three tight ends that are probably NFL worthy. It is truly amazing what he's been able to do, and he's going to need it because of his schedule.
Well, he is, and what I think is incredible is that he has the audacity a couple months ago to say, like, it's not going to happen right away. No, hold on, man. You got a $50 million roster. It better happen right away.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people out there, you know, feigning patience, but I don't buy that. I mean,
me either.
If other schools have to win now, so does he. Now, the only difference is he is in very good shape. The people love him down there. They stand behind him. And when this Ole Miss game comes up in the middle of September, they'll love him even more because of the hatred that will go on. But, I mean, all you have to do is, you know, give Brian Kelly a call. He's probably easy to reach right now considering he doesn't have a job. And he will tell you how difficult it is if you don't win big.
Paul, I saw Brian at Browns camp last week. So, yeah, he's looking for things to take up his time, my friend. I can promise you that. All right. I was very curious about your view on, you know, since last we talked, the SEC and the Big Ten are on the same page with this Sports Act. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. But in terms of the changes that were made to the bill, do you think that those two conferences, which are going to determine where the sport goes over the next 5 to 10 years, maybe longer, did they get what they really needed out of that bill?
I think they got the bare minimum, but I also think, Bo, they did not want to get blamed for being the obstacles to get Congress to finally do something. You can't sit there on the footsteps of the U.S. Congress and scream that we need your help for 7 years and then blink when Congress is willing to do something. Now, I'm a contrarian here. I don't believe it's going to be a seismic shift. I don't believe it's going to give the protection that a lot of people think it will. But it's probably going to be okay, and I give the Big Ten and the SEC credit for at least coming together. I hope they'll come together on things that matter more to us than this congressional bill.
Well, me too. I hope so, too. And like you, I'm a contrarian. I'll believe it when I see it on all of this stuff. I don't understand how they're going to police any of it. None of it makes sense to me. Who's the investigative arm? Who's going to investigate it? The one thing I'm curious about, and my sense is that the SEC's maybe hunger for expansion is pretty minimal. I do think that there is a little hunger in the Big Ten for strategic expansion. The 19 cap and all of that stuff. The SEC, and you correct me where I'm wrong here, my hunch is the SEC is completely comfortable right where they're at and probably doesn't feel like it needs to do anything. I don't know if that's true about the Big Ten. What's kind of your read on further expansion if it comes and if this 19 cap number will inhibit things at all from the SEC and Big Ten's perspective?
Yeah, first of all, I don't think it will mean anything because I don't think anything, even a federal law, is going to be followed, quite frankly. Once it goes to court. But as far as I don't think the SEC really wants to expand right now because it's so they're finding it so difficult to take everyone in and make it work from a scheduling standpoint. I mean, the Big Ten got so big so fast that most of your audience might be hard pressed to name all 18 schools if you gave them under a minute to do it. And the Big Ten doesn't want to go there. They want to be contiguous. They just don't want to grab UCLA because USC got in there. And there really isn't anyone that they're dying to get in. Yeah, North Carolina would be a good get, but it's not that great.
No, it's not. And they kind of have their market. And I think the Big Ten and SEC, that's one where they have very different views on. One of the things that I think you and I hope continues, and one thing I think Ohio State does a really good job of, obviously they play Texas this year, Alabama game in the future, Georgia. You got the nine conference games, but then you also have this big SEC matchup that they've had through the years. Conversely, at Indiana, and I was very critical of Cignetti, and it's hard to be. He's done everything. They're not going to play anybody out of conference until maybe his entire tenure is kind of what it looks like. We've seen some of those things. When you talk to Sankey and you talk to the power brokers in the SEC, what, if at all, is their appetite to satisfy television partners to have more games like the one we're going to have in Week 2 down in Austin when the Buckeyes take on the Longhorns?
Yeah, they want to do it, but the problem is until the CFP expands, everyone is going to be reluctant to move forward. The SEC has a clause, which means you have to play one of the big conferences. But you get a lot of Georgia Tech, Louisville, Kentucky, games like that, that quite frankly don't really excite anyone. We want to see the games like Ohio State and Texas, but we're not going to see them. And by the way, I mean, Kurt Cignetti is great, but he could not have looked any worse this week while he's sitting there watching Michigan, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Texas. I mean, he is playing three cupcakes. And, I mean, just go out and at least make it look good. He's not even trying to do that. So Indiana will play. I mean, I know they have a bunch of good games, but their first 3 weeks of the season will be completely ignored and should be.
Hey, he bailed out of a Notre Dame series, Paul. He bailed out of a Virginia series. Like, I don't understand it. Like, you're the preeminent team at the moment. They're just choosing a different path with it. So hopefully it continues. I love the idea of the Buckeyes going to Tuscaloosa, Bama coming up here, going to Athens. Those type of things are, I think, what makes college football special. And hopefully it continues at the very top. Great conversation as always, my friend. Thank you so much for your time.
Always, Bo. Next week, see you.
All right, there he goes, Mr. Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and the SEC Network, joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Looks like practice is wrapping up here. We got everybody down on a knee, so practice is wrapping up. Day one appears to be closely in the books. We get a little thing or not a thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, day one at Ohio State football camp is in the books. Practice number one is in the books. The Bucks got some work in. Go in, watch some film, and continue their preparation for the 2026 season. We anticipate Matt Patricia joining us here momentarily. Between now and then, time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, so we had mentioned yesterday, and I think T-Bone and Tyvus even asked Ryan Day about it, Akron giving a season ticket holder the opportunity to schedule their first offensive series, or at least call a play or two, for a Zips home game. And I think season tickets were starting at $75. From the University of Akron, they have sold out suite inventory for the first time in program history. This from Front Office Sports from Akron on how they're going to pick the fan. First, we're going to call that person NFL draft style and let them know they got selected. Then we'll find a time for them to come to campus where they'll meet with Coach Moorhead. He'll run them through what plays we would normally call in the opening drive, then figure out what they want to do with it. Adding, on game day, the winner will also take part in a press conference, get mic'd up with a headset, have play sheets, and land in the coach's box. After their moment on the call, they'll be escorted up to a suite with their guests for the second half to, quote, really soak in the experience. Thing or not a thing?
Awesome thing. Good for you. Good for you, yep. Akron. Find a way. Find a way. This is, we have now talked about this for 2 days. T-Bone and Tyvus talked about it for a segment.
Mm-hmm.
It is being talked about all over the country. Feinbaum talked about it on his show. When is the last time anybody has said anything about Akron football?
When they played Ohio State.
Never.
Yep.
Right. And so, like, you took advantage of something. Somebody up there had the sense to do it. Now you're being talked about. Now there's positive momentum. Like, is this fan really going to draw the scheme? Of course not. He's going to be in a meeting. They're going to say, well, what do you think about these two plays? Let's try this. I mean, it's isn't going to be like an NCAA dynasty mode, right? Like, that's not going to happen. Like, I think this is brilliant for them, good for them. I think when you're in their spot, you got to find anything you can to create interest in a program financially or otherwise.
I didn't understand yesterday when I heard some people's reaction to this, and it was negative. It's not like they're going to have this person saying, all right, now you run to the mailbox, then cut up the street, and I'll hit you over by the Buick. Like, it's not going to be that. They're going to have a select amount of plays that they could pick from. They're going to work with the offensive coordinator or the head coach on this. And Akron hasn't got this much publicity since LeBron came out of Akron, I'm pretty sure. It's their AD's on ESPN, their AD's on Barstool. He's been everywhere the past couple of days. This was a brilliant move by Akron. And again, we're talking about Akron football here. So who cares? This was all about raising money for them. So maybe they can get back to some respectability. Beautiful move out of them.
Love it.
All right, let's choose our adventure here. You want to do LeBron and the Sixers or Game of Thrones on the big screen?
Oh, geez. Bron. You can do Bron. Let's do Bron.
In an interview with NBC Sports Philadelphia, Sixers head coach Nick Nurse was asked about LeBron James playing at the point with Philly this season.
He's an offense creator, right? I think he certainly is a guy that'll bring the ball up the floor and try to create for himself or others, you know, really good for others. And I think that lends itself to that, yeah.
And how do you think that'll help Tyrese Maxey playing off the ball?
Well, I think Tyrese, I keep saying how great a shooter he is, so he's better get ready to catch and shoot some of those deep threes that he takes.
Thing or not a thing?
I think it's not a thing, because I think it's so funny when I hear people talk about, like, it's an aberration that LeBron is going to play point guard. He's been a point guard his entire career. You may list him at small forward or power forward or whatever. If you bring the ball up the court and initiate the offense, you're a point guard. And that's what he's yes. done for 25 years.
Yeah, if somebody has an issue with this, it shouldn't be with LeBron being the point guard. It should be that maybe it takes Tyrese Maxey off the ball a little bit, as he's become a superstar here in the NBA the past couple of years. They're going to figure this out. Like we've talked about, LeBron is going to miss a lot of games because of load management. There's going to be some games where maybe LeBron only plays 20 minutes a game. Tyrese Maxey, the 5 minutes he's out, LeBron will have the ball, then he'll be out, and Tyrese can get the ball. This is all going to work out. They're going to figure this out. Just don't bring Ben Simmons into the equation and mess it up.
So the Warner Brothers had their CinemaCon presentation in Las Vegas on Tuesday. The Game of Thrones movie was giving a working title, Game of Thrones, Aegon's Conquest. Okay. First ever big screen adaptation of Game of Thrones was shown as part of their 2027 and beyond announcement slate. The only plot details available that will follow the original Aegon the Conqueror from the Song of Ice and Fire novels. The original Aegon was the first to unite the kingdoms of Westeros, and he forged the Iron Throne. This movie is going to be written by Beau Williamson, who was previously the showrunner of House of Cards, and was a writer on Disney Plus's Andor.
Oh.
One of the best Star Wars shows, or one of the best Star Wars things they've ever done. Thing or not a thing.
Yeah, I think that's a thing. I mean, that guy knows what he's doing. Both those shows were really well received critically and from a popularity standpoint, so that's a win. So this is the original story.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming over and conquering the world. I would imagine this would be a hit. I imagine this will work. And probably as a movie would be more effective than as a series. So
100%.
Sometimes there isn't 10 pounds of you-know-what to fit in a 5 pound. Sometimes it's just 5 pounds. And so I think that that's maybe what you get here, is you get an appropriate length of time on this. I'd be shocked if this doesn't hit.
So, Bo, you said this was a thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think for people who like those like shows and they're pretty popular, yeah, I think it would be.
So
my guess is you're going to say not.
Well, I'm going to go with you because I have no point of reference on this.
There you go.
So.
Yeah, that's right. That's
in my
right.
life, it's not a thing, but if you say it's a thing, I'm going to agree.
I appreciate that, Vic.
At Washington Commanders camp, defensive lineman Javon Kinlaw had some high praise for rookie teammate Sonny Styles.
Just a freak of nature, bro. Me and him are looking eye to eye. But clearly he running probably 10 miles faster than I'm running. You know what I'm saying? Like, he coming downhill, and he bringing thump with it. So it's like, it's just fun to see a young, spry guy just bouncing all over the field, bro. And like, he's just in the box with these running backs. And he ain't getting danced out of the hole, you know what I'm saying? And you love to see that, man. He ain't losing his ground on no contact. He can do some outstanding things in coverage, bro. And like, it's a blessing, bro. It's a blessing for me to be around something like that.
Thing or not a thing.
So, massive thing, obviously. Topic of conversation today, and if Matt Patricia comes over, as we anticipate, we'll ask him about it. So just for your perspective, Javon Kinlaw is a defensive tackle. And the quote there was, he sees eye to eye with me.
Mm-hmm.
Javon Kinlaw is 6'5", 319. Jeez.
Wow.
What, on time.
Thing or not a thing.
Look at this. Threes walking in.
How you doing?
Hey, dude, we just played some audio from Javon Kinlaw on your boy, Mr. Styles.
I saw it.
He goes, quote, I bet you did see it. You probably tweeted out 60 times to all your linebackers. He goes, Kinlaw goes, he and I see eye to eye. Kinlaw, defensive tackle, 6'5", 319.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are.
Yeah.
Every time I see like the highlights of those dudes up there, I'm like, these guys are from Mars. I'm just proud of them. You know, they're both. It seems like they're both doing really well. Ironically, Arvell's linebacker coach was my linebacker coach in St. Louis for a few years, and Frank Bush. So,
oh, okay.
I got to text Frank and ask him if Arvell is anywhere near as athletic as I was. So we'll find out.
You are a man. So there's so many things. First of all, thank you. The gray looks great.
I mean,
we worked on that
for a while.
For a long time, brother. So we worked on that a long time. Now I see backerhood on a crew sweatshirt that looks with a silver bullet.
Yeah.
The details.
Strong.
The details.
Pretty strong.
It's pretty good details, brother.
Yeah. I mean, life is about the details. And so, you know, everyone has a theme. That was probably the one thing about coming back to college football, is that you didn't realize that every single room has like a theme. You got the whole zone six and the R2X and BIA in the back end. So I remember it wasn't even my original idea. Coach Patricia said, he's like, when I was in New England and we had, you know, Vrabel and Sayow and Teddy and all those dudes, like, we always just called it the backer hood. And there was like a brotherhood amongst the linebackers, but the natural play on the words. And I was like, you know what? I like it, and I'm taking it. So that's what we did. We started it last year, and it's been cool because I got you know, backer hood shirts made, and I sent them out to not only the guys that I've coached, but I sent them out to, you know, Spielman and Steve Tovar and all the guys that have come through here, as well as, like, Baron Browning and Pete Werner and, you know, a lot of those dudes, just to let them know that they're always welcome back in the meeting room. And I hope sometime this camp, Raekwon McMillan will come back again like he did last year. And just the more voices from guys who played the game and have kind of sat in those seats, I think the better.
That was always critical to you.
Yeah.
The history of it.
Yeah.
We're going to know it. And I know there's even more you're working on that front.
There is. You know, it's funny. A couple of years ago when I was a GA, I think our equipment staff gave out a polo. You know, you get so much clothes here as part of the staff from Nike. And, like, it was a simple just like Buckeye Grove. And I was like, I was, you know, Kevin Reese gave me one, even though I wasn't a full-time staffer at the time. You know, usually full-time guys got all the nice polos and the support staff got a different color and all that. But he gave me one. He's like, well, since you have a tree, here's your Buckeye Grove polo. And I was like, huh, that's cool. So I'm wearing it down the hallway. And Sean Perkins goes, I feel like if you have a tree, you should be the only one that's allowed to wear something with the Grove on it. And it kind of sparked an idea in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, I certainly never thought of that. But I was like, at some point, I want to try to come up with this logo and have help with some friends, you know, make this logo. And then I want to handwrite, which is totally something that you obviously learned from, like, Jim Tressel, right?
Yep.
I wanted to handwrite a actual individual letter to each living All-American. So the process it took me to find out actually who's alive, the updated addresses, phone numbers. I mean, you would think the older guys would be hard. No, the older guys aren't hard. Some of it's like the current guys that change their phones every like 3 years. Mm-hmm. Crazy. But I was able to get a hold of everybody and get a shirt size. And then the friends over at Homage helped me out. And we got a nice, sweet kind of Buckeye Grove shirt that I'm actually going to give the first one out today. I think big Jonathan Hankins is here, so I'm gonna give
big
him
Hank.
Big nice. Hank's here, so I'm gonna give him probably the first one.
It's awesome, dude. Awesome. Amen. And I know how much you've worked on that and make sure that the history is appreciated. And I think that's, Reese and I were talking about this off the top, it's one of those examples of you guys have to make sure that this program remains touchable for all of the people in the state.
Yeah.
Because of what it means. But also, this is a new era of college football, and we have to be able to maximize where we can have some financial reach. And so it's marrying those two things. I think you guys have done such a spectacular job of that through the years.
Honestly, I think, you know, the unique thing about Ohio State that I think is different from, gosh, it seems like every other blue blood program is, and we've talked about it when we were hosting together, like, it's the lack of the dip.
Yep.
Right? And what the expectations and the production. But the culture has been established way back from Woody. And no matter what coach has come through, they have their own style. But the main culture of the university, you know, the tradition, the people, the excellence has maintained. And so Woody said it, you win with people. And obviously that carried along to every coach after him. And Coach Day's done a phenomenal job. I know he reaches out to the former players all the time and wants them to feel welcome as well. So, just part of it, man. It's this weird but awesome, hey, I'm gonna make sure the guys behind me, hopefully they're better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then hopefully you did something to elevate the standard that came before you. And those are massive shoulders that we all stand on, the guys that laid the foundation here.
You like your group?
Oh, I love my group. We're inexperienced, but we got a good group. I feel like we have some good depth, and I'm sure I'll watch the film and want to, you know, throw something through the wall at some point, but I thought the effort was pretty good.
That's young kids, man.
Yeah.
You got some young ones out there.
Yeah.
It's great seeing you, brother.
Yeah, good seeing you, bro.
Love it.
Look at the D.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, simple.
Just do the
expect.
Just
I mean,
simple
what else? What else? Keep, what else
keep
would you
it,
expect?
Keep it simple, brother.
No doubt.
Three's great to see you.
Good seeing you guys.
Love everything you do. Always
Buckeyes.
Best. We'll talk to you. Absolutely. Bootsy's out there somewhere. Get him to do some lines. See you, buddy. All right. It looks like we have Kenyatta Jackson. Do you want to come right now? Let's. Might as well. We'll just do it
your
up
call.
Live. Let's go, Mr. Jackson. Coming up. Kenyatta, come on in here, buddy. Stepping on. Listen to 97.1 The Fan.
WBNS FM in Columbus.
Good job there, Reese.
Number two for your Ohio State Buckeyes, Kenyatta Jackson joining us. Buddy, thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me.
How's it out there?
It was hot.
Yeah.
Hot, but it was good work.
How are you getting used to that too?
Yeah, I'm getting used to it. I always wanted it for a minute, and now I got it, so I got to put on with it. So it's a legendary number here.
Oh, boy.
So I got to represent it well.
What was that conversation like, all right? So, like, that now because Caleb goes on, so, okay, now a defensive guy can wear two. How does that conversation, how quickly were you in an office saying, I'd sure like that?
I mean, when we was in talks of, you know, me coming back, that was pretty much the first pitch. I asked Coach Day, I was like, you know,
good job out, everybody.
I got to get that number two, and, you know, he gave it to me, so.
Well, that's, you're certainly worthy of it, buddy. What is, you know, the guy who wore that before and a couple other of those guys who are now in the league and making big noise right away, there's a standard now with this defense. We just had James here. James is a standard bearer of the defense, three-time consensus All-American.
Yeah.
Now that you are in, and you were a leader last year, too, not suggesting that you weren't, but now that you are at that ultimate point of leadership, what responsibility is that for you? How seriously have you taken that on? And what do you now do to make sure that other people lift to your level?
I mean, first, I just got to, you know, lead by example. That's number one. You know, this offseason, Coach Mick really, you know, try to put leaders in, you know, tough situations where we had to meet new people, talk to new people, put us in like mini squads or whatever. You had to hang out with your mini squads outside the woody and things of that nature. And I think, I think I did well. I mean, it really helped me a lot, like leadership-wise, vocally-wise. And the guys are just, you know, they're following my word. They're following me. And just on the field, just got to, you know, do what I do.
Yep.
Get better each and every day in practice. And then on Saturdays, you know, put on the field. So,
Kenyatta Jackson is our guest. But 51 was the number of new players coming into this program. Have you been able to get everybody's name and face down?
Most of them.
Okay.
Not all of them, but most of them.
Now, sure. You talked about, you know, being that leader on the field. Do you feel that's where this team's at, and most of the guys who've been the elder statesmen now, like yourself, are leading by the example they set, not only on the field, but in the weight room and everything else that they do?
I feel like the guys I was on the team last year, you know, the Jalen McClains, the Peyton Pierce, the Jeremiah Smiths, Brandon Ennis, you know, those guys, Austin Serafield. I think we got a chip on our shoulder. We didn't like how we ended the season with those two last games, and, you know, we came back with, you know, with a little, you know, chip on my shoulder for sure. So the guys that came in, the new guys that came in, they just had to, you know, buy into the culture, which is fight to be, you know, 1% better each and every day. And I think those guys did. And the leaders are just, you know, they're doing a well job doing it.
How much of a point was it for you, a point of emphasis? Because, you know, this is college football now. There's portal, there's free transfer, all of these things. This is the reality of the business.
Mm-hmm.
How, as a leader on this team, when you talk about that many new guys, how much did you put it on yourself to not only hold to a standard, but also wrap your arms around and say, welcome in. You're in the brotherhood. It's a little different here. Mm-hmm. Here's how we do things. How big of a role did you take in that?
I mean, I put a lot on myself. You know, just coming back, one of the older guys on the team, been here for, you know, 5 years. I know what the program, you know, I know what our culture is, you know. Yep. I know how this program is ran, like the back of my hand. So those new guys, like I said, they just had to buy in. They bought in. You know, at first it wasn't easy. You know, we had some people clashing heads or whatever the case may be. But now this team is gelling together, and it's looking real good.
You're the preseason number one team in the country. You're replacing four players who are taken in the top 11 of the NFL draft. No big deal. Like, mm-hmm. That's just what you do. That's the expectation around here. Heard Coach Day this morning saying, like, whether we lost three top 11 picks on defense. Well, they were saying the same thing the year before about Jack and JT.
Yep.
That type of standard and pressure that is here every day, you got to be built different to be able to handle it. Take me all the way back. How did you know you were?
I don't know. It's just, you just got that feeling in your gut that, you know, you belong here. And I'll say, you know, after my sophomore year, I mean, I believe that I belonged here. I was one of those guys to, you know, probably be the next one to, you know, go first round or, you know, go high in the draft pick. So I don't know. It's just a gut feeling that you have in your gut. And then once you feel it, now you just got to carry each and every day.
Not for everybody, though.
I mean, it's not for everybody, but the people that's here, they was chosen here. They was picked here, handpicked here for a reason. So, just got to put on for real.
You keep leading them, buddy.
Thank you.
Big year, Eddie. Look forward to seeing that too, man.
Thank you, man. Nice.
Good to see you, Kenyatta. Great to see you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it,
Kenyatta Jackson joining us here as day one of Buckeye Camp is a wrap. This was awesome. Absolutely spectacular. We will recap everything we saw, get into 20 most interesting programs, University of Oregon on the docket coming up next. You'll listen to Bishop and Friends right here.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
this.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. We're 30 days out from Ohio State and Ball State, Saturday, September 5th at Ohio Stadium. Football Buckeyes begin the season number one in the coaches poll for the first time since 2015. Ohio State's Austin Saraveld will join us next, right here on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, you heard it there. Austin Saraveld joining us here on set as day one of Buckeye Camp is in the books. Austin, you know, we were talking off air. You played a lot of golf this summer. We got in. Everybody had their summers. I always say, like, don't rush summer away. But then as soon as this thing starts and you get out here and you see all of these fans, the juices start to flow a little bit. Did you notice that today getting back out there?
Yeah, for sure. Coming out the locker room, seeing the fans when we crossed the scarlet line, running out there, every fan's hyped up, ready to go. So you can feel the energy, ready to go for practice.
How important, how much do you guys notice that when the crowd's here the first few days?
It's awesome. We get a lot of juice. Like the crowd brings, like for games, like the crowds have the energy and juice for when we play. So it just helps us out here for practice, helps us get the nervous bugs out and ready to go.
Saying that coming out here this morning, it's kind of like Christmas vibes, right? You're,
yeah.
There's that unmatched energy. But for you guys, and I know you've done a couple of these now as one of the elder statesmen on the team, when is it for you, I'm just ready to hit somebody else?
I mean, that goes back to summer, just feeling good. Like, especially this, I didn't really finish the spring, so I've been trying to hit someone ever since then. But it feels good to get back out there and ready to go.
Yeah, and it's funny. We were talking with Kenyatta Jackson about this. He was on just previously, and I said, look, you lose four top 12 picks in an NFL draft. You've got new offensive coordinator, all these things, and you look at a preseason poll, and you're number one in the country. Like, there is no rebuild here. There's pressure that comes with that. There is a buy-in that has to come with that. How do you make sure that the new guys, we've got a lot of new faces this year, how do you make sure that they uphold the standard that is around here?
Yeah, like as a leader, you got to set the culture, and you got to help the young guys, new guys, build up the culture and just set the standard. And the same was last year is not the same standard as this year. We got to keep raising that up. So,
how did you meld the idea of this is what is expected here with also, hey, man, welcome to the family? That's a balancing act, right?
It was. It's a lot of tough love. That's what we say. It's tough love. There's going to be some hard days and be some easy days, but mostly hard. But you just got to keep grinding.
Austin Saraveld is our guest. I had asked Kenyatta about this, you know, with the 51 being the number of new guys coming into this program. And have you found yourself still going, all right, I'm not quite sure who that, like names, faces? Are you all down with that so far?
I'm pretty good. In the spring, I was like, who is that? But I'm good with putting a face, a number, and names, so I'm good.
Arthur Smith in. Around here, we hire former NFL head coaches to be coordinators is the way that it works around here. What, from the fans' perspective, what will they notice, if anything, different about the way you guys go about your business with Arthur Smith now helping coach, obviously, on the offensive side?
Yeah, he first came in. We had that meeting with him, and he just showed us some film of when he was at Tennessee, just like the nastiness and the intensity the line had, just smoking off the ball, and he showed us that, and that's what we got to come and have this year.
You guys have heard the noise. People, you know, you get people say, Indiana, Miami game, they're more physical. How much is that in the back of your head through your off season?
I mean, it's there. It's definitely motivation for us up front, and we've just been having that every meeting, every walkthrough, film session, stuff like that. Like, it's all in the back of our head.
You know, it's something you guys want to, you know, run the ball, push people off the ball every single play. You know, having a spring without Bo Jackson and Isaiah West, just having those guys back out here. What's that been like for you? And when do you guys put on the pads?
I don't know, whatever day they tell us.
Okay.
But yeah,
of course.
That's the right answer,
right?
By the way.
Yeah.
Bo and Isaiah, they've been fun. It's great to have them back. We just feel the offense with juice now and just keep growing, keep stacking days.
What have you noticed different about 10, year two? Last year he's competing for the job. His job now, obviously, Heisman finalist, all of those things. What have you noticed difference about him from last year to this year?
Well, I first started playing a lot of golf with him. We started out the same handicap, and then he got lessons and golfed every single day, so he lets me have it all the time. But now on the field and in the weight room, he's just more of a vocal leader. You can feel him now. He's not just like trying to find a battle for a job. It's his job, and he's just been more vocal.
I think that's so cool that you guys did that with the golf, because I'm terrible. but I play all the time. And there's something peaceful about it. And you think about the pressure, the microscope you guys are under all the time. You need to have that release. You need to be able to go. It's quiet. It's scenic. All of those things. Even if you're playing bad, it's a beautiful walk in nature. How much of a team builder was that for you guys? I've heard Julian talk about that as well.
Well, it was at first, and then started getting a little competitive. We started playing some money matches. And we started talking a lot of stuff to crap about each other. But it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Who's the best?
On the team?
Yeah.
Ryan Rosinski.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Upper Arlington kid. Yeah, he's probably very familiar with the tracks as well. Austin, thank you so much for dropping by, buddy.
Buddy,
have a great
you.
Season.
Yeah, best of luck.
Continue a great job with camp. Austin Saraville joining us here on studio. Day one of Buckeye Camp is in the books. We mentioned all those new faces. It's interesting talking to Kenyatta and Austin on this conversation of this is the standard, but also welcome. So it's a balancing act when you have this many new faces in here. This is a program that's equipped to handle that balancing act better than any. But that is something that was very real this offseason, something they really didn't have to do before.
And it goes back, to our great friend of the program, James Laurinaitis, and just that embrace of the past, the present, and the future. And they instill it on the guys. So when you get 51 new faces, it's really not difficult. It's just about getting those reps every single day. If you're playing on the golf course, if you're meeting in the team room, if you're 100 yards away from us, in the ice tub. You're just making sure that you're continuing those relationships off the field. So when you get on the field, it's just old hat. They do such a good job, paramount to anybody, at that.
And I think, we didn't have a chance. We went right from Threes to Kenyatta. But what Threes has done with his room, and he talked about it when he and I did the show together, but it is so important to him personally that the guys playing the position that he played at a level better than anybody's ever played it here knows the history. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about him and AJ and Bob and some the guy who's the coach at Notre Dame. I'm talking about ancient history. I'm talking about Marcus Merrick, Tom Cousineau. It's critical. Randy Gratishar, beyond Spiels. It's so critical to him that those guys, that the current players know those players. It's just critical.
And I love the idea that they're looking forward to having guys come back every single year for things like this, and just to see how different it was, how different things are, but really how things are the same, where there's just such a wonderful and willing embrace for the coaches, for the players, for the fans, now that they get to do this at a level unprecedented.
Yeah. It's something. It's Bank, I'll tell you, we have not had this many new numbers. I mean, we just haven't. Ohio State hasn't had to do this yet. This is the new norm of college football. I had a brief conversation with Mark Pantone. He was in great spirits. He's the architect of all of this. So it's just it's a new world, and it finally hit fully for the Buckeyes this offseason, my friend.
And there's going to be a test for all of you after tomorrow, so you better have all those new numbers down.
I need a printout.
Uh-huh. I know you got cheat sheets and printouts. I've seen them going around social media of all the new numbers. But
we don't actually, Bake. I could use a cheat sheet.
That's just a bad job at us not being prepared.
Well, they're on social media. I think like 11 Warriors maybe posted them. Hell Wagon might have posted one as well. So it's so interesting because we haven't seen this at Ohio State, and it was different after last year where they had to make some tough choices, and we've talked about it a lot. Do you keep all of those wide receivers in the wide receiver room, or do you want a guy like Chris Henry Jr. to come in and be next? And it's just the choices they had to make. Is it going to be this way at Ohio State every year? No, I don't think so, because Ohio State has continued to do well in high school recruiting, and as we've done 20 most interesting, and we were supposed to get to Oregon today, we're not going to. We got to Georgia. Those are teams that just brought in 13 transfers, 15 transfers, something like that. So it's not going to be like that every year. And when you say 51, there's a lot from the transfer portal, but that was a big high school recruiting class as well that came into this Ohio State team, and maybe you won't get high school recruiting classes quite that big anymore.
No.
With Ohio State as they go into this new era of college football, but it's something that we've got to expect. And I think the nice thing is, especially on the offensive side of the ball this year, we know all those guys. There might be new guys that are going to be playing on the defensive side of the ball that came in from the transfer portal. But on the offensive side, at least, those are guys that we've known. And those are guys, that's one of the reasons we're so excited about this team, is Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, Bo Jackson, and an offensive line that returns four or five starters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why they're number one. It's because of the known. They've got the returning quarterback. They've got the best player in the in college football. They've got an offensive line that's kind of been together for this will be the third season, you think about a lot of these guys started or were in the run to the national championship game 2 years ago. So you have all of this experience.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The show that understands the importance of a situational beverage. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, what we have here is a fluid situation. Buckeye practice. We are indeed doing it live. As practice wrapped up here, they actually wrapped up about a half hour, 40 minutes ago, something like that. So what's happening now is you have a and by the way, if you want to play in the National Football League, you want to know what the NFL is like, come to Ohio State, and then you see it. Because you see this massive media throng, all of these fans. You've got NBC talking to Coach Patricia over here with Joshua Perry, Charles Davies, Ari and Andy on the On 3 podcast with Jalen McClain. Coach Ryan Day just walked by. He's doing a bunch of media availability. So, like, the eyes of a nation, not just a Buckeye nation, the eyes of a nation are on you. And then there's another thing. I just talked to Ernie Epitropoulos. Mm-hmm. So it's always great to see Ernie and see a guy who played here in the 70s and wearing his 1979 Big Ten championship polo. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. As much as all of this changes, it all still feels the same once you get to the football, once you get to the buy-in that this program has from its constituency, from its former players, and all of it.
But it has to come with – you don't see it anywhere else because the embrace isn't there.
I think that's true, yeah.
And I think this is one of those places where you've had the embrace since forever. You've grown up with the embrace. You've grown up in the embrace. And then so when it happens, there's that embrace. And so there's the confidence in those that make the decisions that when something like this is offered – it'll be embraced.
Yeah.
And so I think to the wonderful crowd out here today and to Coach Day and company that have spent so much time just signing things for fans, just giving them that access you can't get anywhere else. And I think to other coaches that just kind of seem so confrontational with things like this.
Yep.
That the little things get done right, so it translates onto the field, the little things get done right. And so you have the kind of winning that doesn't take a year off like at other places.
And also know what you don't know, Reese. Like,
Bring on the right people that help you where you're deficient.
That's exactly it. So know what you don't know. So, like, this is essentially an event. So when you're looking for an event, you go find Chris and Lisa with Buckeye Cruise, and you put on an event with them because they know what they're doing. So you have something that's run so smoothly, so capably, like that is just an easy layup to handle right there. And so that's one of those things that's a big win, is where you have this combination of like, hey, we need to do something like this. This isn't necessarily our world. Who do we have that knows how to do this? Hey, the guys who run the Buckeye Cruise are the best in the business, so let's go ahead and have them do it right now. And they have, and they've done a great job with it. All right, so it looks like Coach Patricia is going to be here heading this way pretty shortly. So let's take a quick timeout right now.
So, Go ahead, Vic. I was just going to say, unless you guys want to take our final break of the show, we already took that 27-28 break, our normal break, so we're good.
Yeah, Fish says we're good.
Yeah, we're good. So we're good.
Got the thumbs up from Fish.
All right, so then the next break we take will be the last one. We're just producing this live on the air. Yeah. Just roll with us, kids.
And then we'll be on at noon. We're just going to hang out.
Once Patricia is over, we can take our break and then come back and do our final segment like normal. So.
Okay, all right, okay, there we go. So coaches, we're all on the same page now. Coaches over, looks like he got doing a little autograph signing over here to our left. He just talked to the folks at NBC. It's so great to see, obviously, Joshua Perry, who we know very, very well. Nicole Auerbach does such a good job with NBC. And then Charles Davis, who I've known for years from the NFL side of things, would see him with all the Brown stuff I do. Always talk to him at the Combine, one of my favorite guys. Now, of course, he is going to be on the primetime coverage. So now he's going to be a part of that, and you're going to get that side of it as well. So it's you see so many familiar faces. And the thing that you realize, Reese, is that the football world is pretty dang small by the time all is said and done. It really is.
when you think, and I wrote it down with Bill O'Brien and Chip Kelly and Arthur Smith, and those are your offensive coordinators. And now Matt Patricia, and I'm really interested to see if he thought that when he was brought on by Ryan Day, if he would fall in love with this the way that he has.
Yeah.
Because it's an enthusiasm you, one, can't fake, and that, two, comes across on your television every Saturday when he's out there on the field.
Absolutely.
Ohio State's Patricia, defensive coordinator, joining us now, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I wanted to ask first if you thought you would fall in love with this, the way it looks like you absolutely love this.
We love it. Why? How can you not love football?
Your enthusiasm comes through on the screen where I'm watching on TV. You're on the sidelines, like, hugging your players. And look at me. I'm talking with my hands because it's so infectious.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Italian, so we just do that naturally. You know what I mean?
A lot of love.
No, I mean, how can you not love all of this? Our fans, you know, the community, Ohio State. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm super blessed, super lucky. My family and I, we've just had so much fun. We have great kids here, so every single day it's just exciting to come in. And look, we get to get back to kind of like teaching and mentoring and helping young men, right? Which is why, you know, you love this game because it teaches you so many wonderful things that you use in life. And then to be able to pour back in, you know, to these young guys every single day to just try to help them. You know, there's so much that comes at them every single day, not only football, but just in life. And I think that's where, you know, you just find that real inner joy.
Matt, I'm seeing all the social stuff. Of course, NFL camp's been going on for about a week, so I see all this social stuff. I see Arvell with the Giants and Sonny. I got Javon Kinlaw raving about how great he is. I'm like, yeah, we know. I've known him since he was 13. You see Caleb, and we're all going, God, that's so cool to have all these. But at the same time, they're not here anymore, man.
Yeah,
so
there's a
good Lord, you're proud of them, but my God, how do you replace them?
Yeah, I mean, so excited for those guys, seeing all that. And you know, I try to talk to those guys once a week and just make sure, you know, I'm still trying to do everything I can to help them through the process, right? So as OTAs began, talking to them, you know, about things to be ready for, and then during the break, you know, that 6-week mark, you know, it's just different when those guys make that transition, and I think you can really make an advantage. You can really kind of like get ahead. So it's been cool just hearing what they're up to and watching their progression has been awesome. I never say you replace, right? Because I don't think you ever replace anybody. But I think we just got to understand next man up, and opportunity is there. And the group is done an unbelievable job from winter to spring ball to summer to now we're finally here in training camp where we get to kind of get after a little bit and, you know, set the standard for this year. It'll be this year's defense and these guys going out doing what they can to help us to win. And that's the fun part. It's really cool. So I'm excited. I'm excited for these guys.
When did you know last year that those guys could handle what you were throwing at them?
Yeah.
And then how does it different when you have guys who don't have the life and play experience that those guys have this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge question of what we're working through right now. I think last year, what was really cool is those guys had been here. You know, they had been in the system, so the culture and the work ethic and all that was great. I mean, for me, coming in, just being able to teach that group and watching them kind of as the light bulbs were coming on and they understood concepts, and then I kind of like tricked them a little bit. We got done at the end of spring, and I was like, I know we haven't learned that much, but fellas, but look, hey, here you go. And it was like you can see all their eyes open up like holy cow, you know, and really what it is just what they can handle on the field, you know. It's not let them do it, let them go play. This year what's been interesting more than that was the fact that we have so many new guys, right? So we got a couple guys from Alabama, we got a guy from Georgia, we got a guy from Central Florida, we got a guy from Duke, we got a Florida State, we got a Wisconsin, and just watching all those guys come in as the younger guys that have been here are coming up trying to establish themselves too, and just watching that culture build and that teamwork together build, I think that's been more really the focus. And then as we are building scheme now.
Ohio State's defensive coordinator Matt Patricia is our guest. You talk about the guys we mentioned that went off to the NFL, but you bring back a ton of talent from last season. Those are seasoned veterans on your team, but the guys coming in from the transfer portal, how with responsibilities, because I look at Caleb Downs or Eva Reese, and they had so many responsibilities other than the X's and O's, see ball, get ball on the field. How do you, or I guess when do you decide to dole those out to different players entering a new season like this?
Yeah, so I think with last year, you know, as we looked at the group, when those guys had a real opportunity to go play, I think they just kind of took it and ran. But they played, like they didn't, there wasn't a lot of maybe subbing those guys out.
Sure.
I think this year what's going to be different is I think we just have depth. You know, I think we have the guys underneath that are now 1 year older, the guys that came in. So maybe it isn't the multiplicity in that way. Maybe it's a little bit just more platoon. Maybe it's a little bit more waves kind of coming at you. And we'll really work through that during camp and see how much they can handle. And a lot of that stuff, too, even, you know, where we wound up at the end of the season compared to where you start at the beginning of the season, sometimes that grows through the year. And sometimes that can be maybe really good because you're figuring out who you are and what you do well, and maybe you can work towards that path as the season goes.
What did you learn when you had time to self-scout your process in year one heading into year two? What are some of the things that jumped out to you of, I mean, you had the number one defense in the country, so you did a pretty good job, buddy. But just in terms of, we can always get better, and I know that
always.
You're very familiar with all of that from your history, but just from the standpoint of what did you learn about yourself, about the college game, about having this role at this place?
Yeah, I think what was great for me was just to really confirm maybe, I don't want to say the decision to come back to college, but my why. I always say my why, right?
Yeah.
You can lose your why, and coming back to college for me was such a reassurance of like that why of teaching and mentoring and watching those guys that did get drafted last year. And, you know, the guys that left, that popped in my office and was like, you know, they say the things that say, coach, you know, you changed my life or something like that, that just really hits you to the point where like you're about to like break down and cry, but you know that you impacted them in a positive way. I think that reassurance for me, taking a look at last year, really builds into like, okay, here's a new set of guys that we can pour into and we can really hopefully change, you know, what their future looks like and change kind of the outcome for them. So that was really important to me. Obviously, X and O's scheme wise, there's things in there that we're working on and we know we've got to get better at, and we saw that improve during the course of the year, but guys now have to step up and do that didn't do it last year.
Who are some guys, if you can name a couple, I don't want you have to name but who are some guys just from a leadership standpoint, because a year ago Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs walk on the field, people get in line. Who are the get in line guys?
I think what's been fun is you know, you kind of almost have a herd mentality right now.
Okay,
where does the herd go? And you still got to have someone directing where to go, and certainly Jalen McClain, who played a lot of football for us last year, is a great player for us. You know, he knows what it needs to look like, and he's steering that boat along with Peyton Pierce, you know, who's going to sit in the middle of the defense and really kind of control that stuff. So those two guys, you know, being in the middle, being signal callers, pushing the herd, you know, where it's got to go. And a guy like Earl Little Jr., who came in and just right away, you know, you're like, oof, okay, this guy can play football, and guys see that right away, so they gravitate to that. So it's been different from that standpoint of like, okay, here's the one or two guys, and everyone goes in line, as opposed to like, here's the pack and let's move as a pack and let's go as a group. So that's been neat.
You've seen so much football, and in your time in college, you know, especially here, you know kind of how there's the great hype, and there's a player like Chris Henry Jr. When you look across the field and you just see him physically, he looks ready to go right now. Is he a guy that you would think that'd be a nightmare to scheme against?
Yeah. Well, there's another guy.
Well, of course, four.
JJ.
He's the known,
that I
the
have to kind of deal
the
with first. So a lot of times I'm like, okay, all that stuff I just said about four, make sure we're getting it about this guy too. But I think as a young player, you notice right away in the spring, and certainly as, you know, the defensive coordinator, so I'm coming into our meeting room going, guys, if we're going to let a guy that should be in like third period math class right now keep running through the middle of the defense, I'm going to lose it. So we got to make sure we know where this cat is, because he's so good. He's so big. He's, you know, he's going to be a great player. But I think having a guy like JJ already on the field,
of course,
then you're like, okay, we got another issue. So you're trying to deal with all that.
And kind of the roles reversed. Last year you had the veteran defense, although your first defense. This year, veteran offense.
Yep.
The iron sharpened irons thing really happens here. You're going to get tested. Well, you got a Heisman finalist at quarterback who's going to test you.
Yeah, I love it. And Arthur and I have been talking a lot about that too. And that's been really fun for me to have him. And as we talk through the college game and how to play the game, you know, what that's going to look like this year as opposed to what it looked like last year. Put to that point, you know, for me, it's going to start always up front. So being able to have that offensive line come back and those guys up front on the O-line that we have to go against, that's going to be great for us from, you know, playing physical and playing, you know, violent up front in the run game and the pass rush. And then certainly with Julian back there, who's unbelievable. I mean, he's such a great, obviously, quarterback, but a great guy, a great student of the game. And he and I got to spend some time this spring, you know, just watching defense. And, you know, he's such a curious learner. It was really cool for us to spend that time. So I've enjoyed really watching his maturation. I threw a lot at him in training camp last year. So, you know, every day we'd come out here and Sonny and I would be laughing. And he's like, what do you have today? You know, it's like, is this five down, six up, seven? I'm like, we're just going to drop 11. You figure it out.
You figure it out, kid.
Yeah, we're going to go. So this year he's more on it. He's kind of busting my chops here a little bit. So
Matt, we are better off as a city and as a Buckeye Nation that you're here. It was incredible what you did in year one. The people appreciate you in such a big way. But it's just been so cool to see. We're lucky to have you, buddy. Thank you for the breath of fresh air on the defensive side, and thank you for your time today.
That's super kind. I mean, that means everything, and I mean, I'm just here to serve and really try to help people, and I get a great opportunity to do that every day, so I'm the lucky one. I know that. So,
great to see you, man.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Coordinator at Ohio State.
So
much
energy.
Where you can lose.
Hard to follow.
You can lose three top 11 players and still be number one in the country.
I think we lost almost 20 guys in the last 2 years to the draft. I was sitting there today. I'm like, okay, so if we had Caleb, Arvell, and K-Matt, maybe I'd be up here with you guys during practice. Be like, let them. They got it. We're good.
They got it, man.
All right, great to see you guys. Appreciate you so much. Thanks.
Matt Patricia, just. You know, we have always had a standard of defense around here. What he did last year with that group, and it was the perfect storm because he had a supercomputer at safety. He had these in the most endearing way possible, freaks of nature at linebacker.
They're robots. I mean,
they were predator. Yeah. They were creative players. They were all of that. And so he has all of these things that just kind of all hit. And then I think the thing that was the coolest for all of us, for us, for players, for the fans, you saw this version of Matt Patricia that, by the way, we just got exposed.
That was incredible.
Which we didn't know he had it in him. Nope. Because it was, you know, you didn't hear from him that often. But the guy is just an absolute. His energy is so positive, it's infectious. And then he's brilliant. So all of those things fit. But now, now he's got real questions. Like he talked about pack mentality. Yeah. Like you can't lean on 0 and 2. It's going to take a bunch of guys to kind of elevate, and we're interested to see where that leadership comes from.
And I think it was why they did such a job of getting guys that had played so much college football out of the transfer portal. I mean, you talked about the linemen, you know, from Alabama, Florida State, Duke, guys that had seen almost everything in every situation. And so you're never going to know how exactly they're going to plug into what you want to do defensively. But from a football game standpoint, it's like, I'm not going to be worried that he's going to walk into Austin week 2 and be like, wow, this is new.
Yeah.
No, that's new. And so everything else then you can kind of work on.
Yeah.
He's the guy to be able to do that because he's done it everywhere with everyone. I mean, there's a legitimacy when Matt Patricia is giving you advice.
Yeah.
If he's texting you, you know, just about, hey, you got to be working on this. We got to do this better. Like the fact that him and Julian are sitting there grinding up film.
That's awesome.
And I can't imagine how daunting for Julian it must have been walking in a legitimate quarterback competition last year. Be like, what's this guy going to do today? Like, what am I getting today?
Well, and also, like, dealing with the pressure of a competition and every throw.
All of it, right?
All of it, and then manage it. Bake, pretty infectious, isn't he?
I'm so jealous of Reese. He just got two hugs from that guy.
Two of them.
And, I mean, there's no doubt why. Like, how could you not? How could you say no to that guy if he came into your house to recruit you?
Yeah.
How could you not say that I don't want to go play with him, play for him, especially with the track record he's had, the Super Bowl teams he was a part of, and then coming to Ohio State, and you may have had questions about him because of what happened in Detroit. Then he comes to Ohio State, he replaces 8 starters and still has the number one defense in the country?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you say no?
Well, you don't, and that's why, you know, that's Ryan deserves a lot of credit because it takes a lot of self-confidence to hire former NFL head coaches to be your coordinators, right? I mean, in simplest terms, like, he's hiring people who have reached the pinnacle of the sport to run his offense and defense. That's a man firmly comfortable with where he is in his lot in life. And so we all benefit from it. The program benefits from it. Hopefully we get to talk to Arthur tomorrow. I'm fascinated to talk to him because
you get a hug from him too.
Much like Matt, you know, reputationally, Arthur has one, but Matt had one.
Yeah.
And then the reputation wasn't at all what the reality was. And you can see how much he loves it here and how much it meant to him. We've come a long ways. I remember last year, the first day of practice, his wife and kids were on the outside. They couldn't get in. They're, wait a second, that's Patricia's wife and kids. Get them in. So they were able to.
New faces, I get it.
Yeah,
you know?
We've come a long way. We'll get you three things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on Football.
Training Camp Report.
This report is brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass and by Bob's Discount Furniture. Well, Julian Sain would have a lot of eyes on him as he returns as starting quarterback. Only the third time since Ryan Day has been the head coach that he's had a returning starting quarterback for the Buckeyes. And while he had such a record-setting season last year, including being a Heisman Trophy finalist, Sain talks a little bit about where he looked at trying to improve himself.
I think this offseason I grew a lot in my physical traits, so I think I'm throwing the ball harder. You know, still growing my game in the processing side because, you know, when you have coaches like Coach Day and Coach Smith who have been around great quarterbacks and who know the game really well, it's very helpful as a quarterback to be able to process things and kind of train your brain.
We'll have more right after this.
Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at Safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center,
the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
As Ohio State gets ready to start preseason practice and go into the season, quarterback Julian Sand talked about some of the obvious advantages that he figures they've got with the deep wide receiving group.
I think it's very helpful to us. When you're able to sub receivers in and out and get different guys in there and keep guys fresh, it's very hard on the defense because, you know, they're rarely like subbing out like corners a bunch. Like they're keeping corners in most of the time, and those guys are getting tired. So if we're able to have, you know, guys who are very talented out there and we have a bunch of them, it's what you want as a quarterback.
He also talks about his favorite target, Jeremiah Smith.
He's a professional in the way he trains, and it's been a lot of fun that Coach Mick has kind of had us together, lifting together, and you know, to be able to see the way he works and the way he trains and how hard he goes, it's pretty cool.
Buckeyes starting preseason practice this week, and they'll open the season Labor Day weekend when they host Ball State at Ohio Stadium. We'll have another report coming up tomorrow. This is Paul Keels, and you're listening to the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Progressive Insurance to sail Buckeye Nation. Join us February 19th to February 26th, 2027, as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer out of Barbados on the Silver Sea, Silver Ray. Meet more than 35 Buckeye greats, plus some of your favorite current Buckeyes, all while making memories and helping beat cancer. You don't want to miss this ultimate Buckeye fan experience. We can't wait to see you on board. Let's celebrate 20 years of making a difference. Visit BuckeyeCruise.com for more information.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
The great thing about Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The best hair on the air.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what have on the poll today?
So the Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. And today's Daily Fan Poll asks, I'm scrolling. We've done so much content
really
at 97 on the Fan. And you know what? I'm not seeing a daily fan poll, so I'm going to just make up a fan poll right on the spot.
Go right ahead, yeah.
And say, will it get any better at camp for Eric than two hugs from defensive coordinator Matt Patricia? 100% of respondents to the daily fan poll say no.
You got two embraces.
Holy cow.
That was fun, man. That was a lot of fun. Time for three things on a Thursday.
Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. Day one of Buckeye Camp is in the books, so I brought the two littles. We've got Beamsy here, Bootsy here as well. The last thing their mother told me before I left this morning was make sure they put on their sunscreen. Do you think that I acquiesced?
I think you did your best.
I didn't. Yeah, look at the look from Beamsy. Wow. He knows. Not great.
I think sunscreen.
Not great.
I want to say this on the air because she does know we're on the air now.
I don't know. She might still think we're. I don't know. Could be. She
sunscreen
might think I'm doing 9 to 10.
Was in the conversation today between
said,
the three of you.
Said. Yeah, there's no sunscreen applied. No sunscreen applied.
Get him tomorrow.
It'll be fine.
Get him next time. That's what I always say. First thing for me, I just want to give a thanks to everybody. Scotty, Jen, Jake from Promotions, Fish for setting all this up and coordinating everything with the guys at Ohio State. I know Will's done a great job of getting us the kind of access that it's unparalleled.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So even Tyler's standing out here with the biggest smile on his face. And just, if you're coming out here this weekend, please stop up and say hi to us, because they don't do this, we don't do this. Ohio State's not doing this without all of you out there. So gratitude to all of our listeners and guys watching us on the YouTube chat today. I got, I'm trying to use this correctly, frame-mogged by Kenyatta Jackson.
You did.
Totally.
I think you did.
Okay,
I think you did. I think that's fair.
First thing for me, congratulations to about-to-be freshman at Dublin Kaufman, Rylan Wax. So this past weekend, he won the world championship at Greco-Roman freestyle wrestling at the 45-kilogram weight, which is about 99 pounds. He also won silver at the world championships in the freestyle at the same weight. Again, this kid isn't even a freshman yet. He's about to be, and he's already a world champion. That's pretty impressive.
They feed these kids.
That is nuts. It's crazy when you see greatness like that and some kid elevate at that age already to that level. Absolutely incredible. Not a misstep, not a misspoken thing, nothing. I went to a baseball game last night. Went to the Guardians game against the Mets. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. I hadn't been in a long time. Hadn't been to a baseball game in a long time. I don't watch the sport. That's not a bit. I don't watch it at all anymore. I casually follow the things that hit if they hit. But there were probably 30,000 people at the Guardians game last night, and they were all in lockstep. It didn't go the way that they wanted. But it was a reminder for me of how special it is. And I was thinking about like Blue Jacket fans. Yep. And it is a thing to do on a given night, to socialize and be part of a community, and it was a reminder for me last night. That stadium is awesome. That it's held up so well through all these years. I know they've done some stuff to it, but it still has that feeling it had 30 years ago. It still hits the same way. It's a great, great venue.
Outside of football, for me, there's nothing better, and I'll make this my second thing, than a live baseball game in Huntington Park or Progressive Field or even the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. All spectacular places to go out and just be a part of the community. Both teams, day baseball in the Queen City and up in Cleveland. You got Foster Griffin on the mound making his Guardians debut at 1:10 and then 12:40 Red Legs and Athletics. Cincinnati looking to win their fourth straight game.
Second thing for me, and we talked about it a little bit earlier today with Sonny Styles, and no surprise that he's dominating Commanders camp, because I think we all said he was the safest pick in the draft. You see the videos from Caleb Downs, and he was right there with Sonny as the next safest pick in the draft, so no surprise. And Arvell Reese, we know his talent. But it sounds like a couple other Buckeye defenders are having a day up at Buffalo Bills practice today. It sounds like Davison Igbinosin was in the middle of some fisticuffs, possibly pushing and shoving there. And it sounds like Jordan Hancock is having a great camp as well. And as we were talking about Buckeyes and the brotherhood and the culture, and Jordan Hancock played nickel cornerback here at Ohio State. He was never the top cornerback, maybe the second cornerback on his team, but he stayed and played all 4 or 5 years here. Now he's perfectly suited to a role that happens in the NFL all the time with a nickel corner, and he's taking advantage of that. All of these Buckeyes having great training camps.
Yeah, they really are. Finally, number three for me, we will be back here tomorrow, day two of Buckeye camp. If you are on the fence, get off the fence. It's awesome. The exposure. One of my boys commented that Bo Jackson signed every autograph. He was out there for like an hour signing autographs. So like that type of access is what you're getting if you're lucky enough to be able to come out here. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
So that'll be my final thing as well. We're scheduled to have Athletic Director Ross Bjork on with us at 9:30. Then our cavalcade of characters, seeing, you know, Doug and Tim and friend of the program Jake Trotter live and in living color, was a special thing for this. And so I'm going to, again, thank everybody for joining us out here. Invite you to come out come out Friday, come out Saturday. Also, if you're here, because I'll do this, you see me, I'll give you a hug. Free hugs.
You're giving away hugs?
I have to.
What are you, Tiberi?
It was passed on to me by Matt Patricia.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I will hug as I was hugged.
Are you trying to give Patricia to other people through your hugs? Is that what you're doing?
Well, through some osmosis, you might find yourself great. Just like I found myself feeling great after an embrace with Ohio State's defensive coordinator.
Never forget, Reese got two hugs from Matt Patricia within a 10-minute span.
Now,
final thing for me, training camp today is over, but don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice have got you covered. They'll recap all of it. They'll also have Bill Rabinovitz live in studio at 1:30.
Oh, that's very nice. You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on the